talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Smash 11, this is Control. How do you hear?
I have you loud and clear.
Have you also, Smash 11. It's playtime.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and I'm here to tell you about making the right choice when it comes to your evening's entertainment. There's only one surefire way to get real moments worth paying for, and let me tell you from bitter personal experience, it doesn't involve succumbing to the temptation of smelly pirate hookers. You need the real thing.
My body is very attracted to your body, but when you speak, my brain gets angry.
Casually drinking milk. Casually drinking milk.
And now,
these dollar bills aren't going to stick themselves in a thong.
Our feature presentation.
I think we need to contact that guy and have him do casually drinking chocolate milk for Bean.
Oh,
I think that would be good.
Have GMC for sure. Chip's boyfriend.
She's in contact with him all the time. Yeah. Maybe we can make that happen.
I like it. I would never impose upon a great artist, though, for him to alter his lyrics based on our stupid little show.
True.
I mean, he
although
he's got to write him the way he sees him.
In your defense, he did do a song called "Casually Drinking Milk." So all
yes,
you're
he
asking
did.
Is for chocolate milk.
I respect his choice, though. If it would have been better as chocolate milk, he would have written it as chocolate
milk. All right. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 14th of October.
And point for mugs.
Yep.
So, graffiti, right?
That's a thing.
That's what I'm talking about.
In your opinion, you guys, is it possible to deface graffiti?
Deface graffiti. What does that mean? I'm sorry.
Just what it says. If somebody has graffitied a building or a sign over the freeway or something like that, is it possible for somebody else to come along and deface it, or is it fair game because it's just graffiti and it's illegal anyway, and it's not welcome or warranted, so you can't really damage it if somebody else draws on top of it? Oh well.
Well, it's all illegal.
So. Yeah, I can't imagine it would be wrong for somebody to paint over.
Yeah, because it's public property. It's,
right.
It's not yours to own, right?
Right.
Well, I agree with you. And then yet there's this story out of Britain where somebody has defaced a Banksy on the side of a building. Now, Banksy's the most famous guitarist, listen to me, most famous graffiti artist in the world. And he's had some problems with some of his previous artwork as well. There was the story a couple of years ago about he put one on the wall on the side of a business, and the business owner didn't want it there and painted over it, painted black paint over it. And there was a huge outroar because he's considered a legitimate great artist. His canvases are just public buildings.
Right.
Everybody's familiar with Banksy, right? People have seen his work. You guys know who we're talking
about.
But
was he commissioned to do it, or it was just...
No. He just shows up wherever he wants and just puts it on the side of a building. Nobody ever invites Banksy. He just goes where he wants to go. So this is the... where is this? In Folkestone, I think, is the town in Britain. And he painted a picture, rather pensive-looking photo of the back. It looks like it's an old woman. She's wearing a coat. She's got a purse. You see her from the back, and she's looking at a piece of art that's on the wall.
Right.
It's estimated to be worth, by the way, $480,000, this Banksy. It's huge. $480,000 it's estimated to be worth.
Wow.
Somebody came along, Kevin, and you'll love this. And what do you suppose they did to the Banksy?
Well, just painted over it, probably.
Put horns on it.
Good guess, Lisa. In the place of the artwork that the old lady is looking at, they painted a penis.
Oh.
Right on. Psycho Mike.
I was just going to say, did Psycho Mike do it?
Yep.
They painted a penis on top of a Banksy. So nobody seems to be happy about that. I guess they probably move pretty quickly to remove any kind of penises that are painted on public walls anyway. But they did bring in the experts, and they have a specialist with a removal technique who was able to,
remove most of it to kind of restore it back to its regular appearance. But the police are not happy about it. They've now put guards on the Banksy to protect it because it has become quite a tourist attraction in town. It's bringing a lot of business into this small town. Because there's a Banksy. I know. This whole thing is weird. Yeah, it's all backwards because we're talking about graffiti. Usually you just paint over that stuff as fast as you can. But now the police have stepped up to try to protect it by putting guards on the thing. So they don't know who you know who put the penis on there, but that's an interesting choice.
Wow.
On an almost $500,000 artwork.
But I would,
he's definitely rewriting the rules, isn't he?
Yeah, that's so weird that they would put a price on it and everything else if it's illegal.
Yeah.
Yes.
How do you put a price on that?
He's just so popular. This used to happen with Keith Haring, too. Remember, Lisa, back in the 80s when he used to do the exact same thing? People would, you know, try to figure out ways to get to take move walls if they had Keith Haring on them. Put them in museums and things like that. I mean, it's just every once in a while somebody comes along who people think is so good. But I just thought that was just fascinating. And what's going on in the mind of the person or persons who decided to put a penis on that? I mean, did they not know that it was a Banksy? Did they not know how valuable it was? Or is that why they did it?
I'm guessing they had no clue.
I'm guessing they had no clue of either that it was Banksy or that it was worth, you know, whatever.
$500,000.
Yeah, that's
almost.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Again, so. I can't even get my head around the fact that it's illegal, but they put a price on it. That just doesn't make any sense.
Well,
I know.
You can't sell it.
Right, exactly.
Because it's on the side of a building.
Right. I mean, I think that's the beauty. That is what his art is the fact that it's temporary.
Right.
It's
always
going to be temporary. So.
Right, exactly.
But Psycho Mike, I can tell you this. If he were there and he drew a penis, it's just because he's been drawing them his whole life. There's no ulterior motive.
Right.
He doesn't think, oh, I'm going to deface a Banksy. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Just it's an opportunity.
This needs a penis.
Yeah.
And that, please save that piece of tape for me, Grandma.
Yeah.
And that is, it's very common for young boys to draw penises on things. I mean, that's a phase that a lot of people go through. But most of them grow out of it, right?
Well, yeah.
Psycho Mike just never grew out of it. He never slowed down. I don't think there was ever a time where he, you know, stopped for a year.
No.
He just kept on drawing them.
Yep. And I had arguments with him over and over. He would write on my paperwork and stuff. He would draw penises everywhere. And I finally had to sit him down and go, listen, I'm serious. Don't draw a penis on my paperwork. Draw it anywhere else you want. And I had to actually have a come to Jesus meeting with him and say, stop it. And then he would still do it like once a month.
Did you find yourself in awkward situations where you needed that paperwork later or in a meeting or you were at home and you pulled out some paperwork and had to explain to the family?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. But it just got, after a while, it gets annoying. I find it funny, but, you know, come on. Five times a day? Not that funny.
Exactly.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach Show, shall we?
Cool story, bro.
Thanks. Johan from Linkin Park will be here talking about a movie that he's got coming out.
How about that? Well, I mean, that's a step a lot of people have taken from directing music videos to making a full-length film.
And there's never been a better time for people to get into that kind of thing. So,
right. Hey, look at David Fincher, director of Past Weekend's Gone Girl. That's how he got his start, is making all those videos.
We have another edition of Was It Bean?
How dare you?
The answer, by the way, is yes on all.
Yep.
All of the above. We also have tickets for Hilarity for Charity. Prom Night, which features Seth Rogen, Sarah Silverman, Craig Robinson, Bill Burr, and more. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a great lineup.
That's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. We have one of our favorite guests, Ken Marino, will be here talking about a show called Marry Me that debuts tonight that he's on. We sent Lightning out to get some interviews, and we have Lightning Strikes the Ebola Edition.
Love it.
So that's coming up this morning as well. Ralph is back. He's going to look at the showbiz beat. And
has that been confirmed? Has there been a sighting?
I'm not sure, but I'm assuming.
Okay.
And Bean can't wait to play him my meltdown on Friday.
Nor can I.
That was something.
So, one of the greatest moments in the history of the Kevin DeBeach.
By I don't moment,
like, miss that piece of history.
Like I'm saying, we need another category because it was like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's your Banksy.
It's my Banksy. Thank you, Lisa.
It's our Banksy, and Kevin drew a penis on it. That's what's happening.
So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break.
Let's call him Wanksy.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with the showbiz beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52. It is 5:52.
All right. I love 5:52. It's my favorite time.
In for
the time's so nice, we say it twice. It's 5:52, everybody.
In for Ally McKay with the Showbiz Beat. Ladies and gentlemen, the return.
See what he did there? Because Ally McKay came in and filled in for me while I was gone for a while. But now I'm back, and he's saying, I'm filling in for Ally McKay. He flipped it.
See?
Oh, he flipped this show has not missed a beat.
Thank you.
Since I left.
We did miss having you, Ralph.
The comedy keeps on flowing.
that's what we're known for. We're the chuckleheads. So, come on, Ralph.
So
you know
good.
That.
It's good. That
How
was
are
good.
You, man?
It was good. I'm good.
You sound excited to be back.
Think Ebola, man. Think Ebola.
I know.
Think Ebola. It's my message.
By the way, while you were gone, I've done my part to try to whip people into a needless frenzy, which I don't think is needless because I think the Ebola epidemic is coming. It's coming fast. And Kevin has been downplaying it. Kevin's been like, oh, you're not going to get the Ebola. Nobody's going to get the Ebola. The Ebola's not a thing. It's not a big deal. It's not going to affect us. I'm telling you, we're going down, people.
Yeah. Look, here's the thing. Ebola is definitely a thing, and it's definitely a big deal. Now, is everybody going to get it?
No.
No, not everybody. But enough people are going to get it that it's going to be a problem.
That's what I think.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think so.
And the World Health Organization came out this morning and said that in a couple of months, they would not be surprised if 10,000 new cases a week of Ebola are developing. That, to me, sounds like an epidemic. We're getting pretty dangerously close to The Walking Dead at that point.
No, we're not. But this is going to be worse than a lot of them, I think. A lot of the sort of media-hyped disease
like bird
of the
flu
week.
And all that.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a genuine problem. Now, what size problem? I don't think it's going to be a death sentence for everyone, but it's going to be a significant problem as compared to the other stuff.
As long as Muggs gets it, though, we're cool, right?
Because I'm telling you, having traveled extensively the past week or so for work and pleasure, everybody's taking it pretty seriously. The airports are taking it seriously, and nobody's fooling around with this.
But most of the time, that's why it doesn't spread and become an epidemic.
No, it's good because that people are being aware.
Right.
And again, my message for today, think Ebola.
Think Ebola.
Just keep it front of mind so that you do the right thing.
Oh, okay. Think and the right thing is what?
Don't get it.
Okay. All right.
I guess that's what I'm saying.
Advice. Work on that,
Dr. Garman.
All right. Let's talk show business news, shall we? This Jennifer Lawrence, she's
a good deal.
She is the good deal. And, by the way, apparently a big proponent of my longtime motto, which was always, make them laugh, make them breakfast.
Oh, sure.
Because, you know, she is currently romantically involved with the super talented Chris Martin. However, maybe not her first choice. She told in an interview with Vanity Fair magazine that she has a serious crush, and has had for a really long time, on Larry David.
Well, look at him.
Serious crush on Larry David.
How could you not?
Star of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
He's twice her age?
He's about 40 years older than her.
40 years older?
Yeah. Okay. He's about 40 years her senior.
Wow.
But she says she just finds him just the best. That's all I'm saying.
That's strange because all of his shows make you think, or at least make me think, I would not want
to be around him.
To be friends with this guy because
he just seems
nightmare.
Like a cranky pain in the ass.
Everything is
who would
so
screw
negative.
You over.
Yes.
I guess that she thinks that's funny.
It's crazy.
But still, she's banging Chris Martin. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
She's got a crush on Larry David, but, you know, when it comes down to brass tacks.
Right.
Or whatever she's got down there, I'm just saying she doesn't choose him. Amula Alameddine has decided not to keep her last name. Well, what a shock.
I don't know.
A lot of people were thinking that's George Clooney's new wife.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people were thinking because of her profession and her high standing in her profession, she would keep her last name for professional reasons. But no, she has announced that the new wife of George Clooney will officially change her last name to her husband. She would be Amal Clooney.
Hmm. All right.
Look, you would change your last name to Clooney if you could, Ralph.
Oh, absolutely. I might do it anyway.
What if your name was Asshore?
I don't even know the guy. you can't find Stephen Collins' website any longer. I don't know if you're trying to get any information on Stephen Collins, but apparently his website has been taken down. Geez, I wonder why.
Yeah.
His personal website is gone after last week's brouhaha regarding his molesting children. Ugh.
Yeah, that's an ugly story.
Yeah, he's trying, I guess, apparently to disappear from public eye, which couldn't happen fast enough. But I was working last week on a film called Ted 2 in New York City.
Very exciting.
And Mr. Collins was supposed to have a rather large role in that film.
Oh, yes. And how did that go?
There was some significant agitation amongst the folks involved.
I imagine.
Did you get
his sizable role?
I did not.
Bump you up?
I did not get his sizable role, but it was a monkey wrench.
Yeah, no kidding. That close
spanner in the works, as they say. Well, they were like filming, just right on the cusp of filming that stuff, you know.
Oh, so wow.
It really was.
Wow.
Bit of a brouhaha. That's rough. But as you can imagine, no one wants to work with this guy because of the hideous things that came out. But.
Sure.
Well, you know, when you think Ebola, and again, my message for today is think Ebola.
Think Ebola.
That's from the CDC. You could think that way, or you could think like Monty Python member John Cleese, who I just think is one of my favorite comedians. Very, very funny guy, who apparently is now set and very comfortable with the fact that his life is over and he's looking forward to death, he says.
You don't hear that message much.
No, you don't. But have you ever heard it? It's from the Pythoners, who have a very sort of laissez-faire attitude about death. They make a lot of jokes about it, and it really doesn't seem to be a terrifying ordeal for them. Here is his statement. I've only got 5 or 6 years left, and I will be gone. I won't have to worry about ISIS or Ebola. However, in my mind, most of the best people are dead anyway, so I will be in excellent company and having a wonderful time. He made this statement over the weekend. He is very funny. He said where he was speaking that his movie career was also over because it is too much like work. It is 2¾ years. It is 2¾ years, and I am too old for that process. If I started a film now, I would die, he said. So, not going to see him in any more movies.
Well, if he's only got 5 years, you don't want to spend half of it making a movie.
No, you do not.
Let him enjoy his retirement.
Right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Steve Coogan, speaking of funny Brits, he is 49 years old today. Did you ever see those movies, the Trip movies, the trip to Italy?
Saw the first one.
I didn't.
Did with Rob Corddon. Very funny films. 49 years old today. Roger Moore, James Bond at one time. He's 87. Singer Thomas Dolby. Silence! He is 56.
Silence.
Lori Petty's 51. Sportscaster Jim Rome is 50. 49. 48. That's right. Now I did it. Now I'm gone. John Cena's 44 years old. Natalie Maines of the Dixie Chicks is 40 years old today. Usher's 36. Stacey Keibler, 35 years old. Comedian Jay Farrow is 27. And singer Pia Toscano. Sure, ooh, you may know her from American Idol, but if you've ever seen a Kings game,
yep,
she is their lucky voice. She's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Seth Rogen is awesome. He is hilarious. He's talented. We've had him on the show a bunch of times. And he has dedicated a significant portion of his life to raising awareness and funds about the Alzheimer's disease. I guess he's had it in his family. And he started a charity called Hilarity for Charity, where they take money and they help families that are struggling with Alzheimer's. And I tell you all that to tell you this. There's an awesome event that's going to be happening this Friday night at the Palladium with Seth Rogen, also Sarah Silverman, Craig Robinson, Bill Burr, and more. Tickets and information available at hilarityforcharity.org. And we're also giving away some tickets right now. We got one pair of tickets for this awesome event this weekend, but you're going to have to earn them. What are we looking for this time?
We are looking for jokes. We're going to do Rodney the Joke Machine.
Okay.
Usually, we don't give away any tickets when we do this because Rodney knows the end to every joke. He knows the punchline. But if you can set up a good joke, and then Rodney doesn't know the punchline, you go into the drawing.
That's how unbelievable his knowledge of humor is.
That's right.
It's hard to find. He's a walking joke machine. It's hard to find a joke that he hasn't heard. So if you've got one, you give us the setup. We'll see if Rodney knows the punchline. If you stump him, then you are in the drawing to win some tickets for Hilarity for Charity. You can call right now with your favorite joke at 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to get on the air and win these tickets in about 10 minutes.
Was it Bean?
And now a look into the creepiest stories in the news, where we ask, was it Bean?
Ralph Garvin, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Announcer man, how should I address you?
Move on, all man. Right. Just move on.
We haven't gotten better since you've been gone. No, you
have not. We look at the creepiest stories in the news and ask you, the K-Rock listener, was it Bean? because every one of these stories could easily be Bean.
How dare you?
And most likely was.
How dare you?
A man is accused of hoarding 40,000 pieces of other people's mail. We need to ask the question, was it Bean?
Can I answer?
Was it you, Bean?
First of all, I have far too much respect for the United States Postal Service to ever stand in the way of the delivery of the U.S. mail. So
sure.
Absolutely not. It
but
was not
you
me.
Love mail.
I love mail so much.
And
you love to rub your genitals on mail, wouldn't
I'm
you?
I'm not sure about the genitals, but
no,
I was so...
let me gum these stamps for you, madam.
Oh. I was so sad yesterday on Columbus Day knowing that there wasn't any mail. I just sat there and just looked out my window at the mailbox and just was a little bit of a tear
for
me.
That's just
be
not
honest.
True.
It is true. No, I hate days where there's no mail. I hate it.
It turns out it wasn't Bean.
It wasn't Bean. His name is Joseph Bricado, a New York man, and he was actually working at the post office. He had 2,500 pounds of mail, and it was in his house, in his car, in his locker at work.
God.
What I hell? See a couple stories a year of mailmen who just get tired of their job, and they're just like, I'm not going to deliver all this stupid mail. I'm going to knock off early and go golfing today, and they just take it and throw it in their basement. And there's always stories like this. They're never me, though.
So you're saying no?
Not me.
You're
not
denying.
This time.
All right.
Damn.
Thought we had you.
Another man was stopped at the U.S.-Canada border after he was found having 51 turtles in his pants.
What?
We have to ask the question. Was it Bean?
Not this time.
U.S.-Canada border, though, Bean.
Mm. I know. It's very close to my home.
You love Canada.
I do love Canada. I love turtles. I
you
like
love
turtles.
Turtles. you own pants.
I have everything except this. It was not me, you guys. I'm sorry to disappoint.
Oh, you know what? It was Kai Zhu, I believe is the name.
Oh, you racist bastard.
And he.
How do you know he was a Jew?
No. I don't know how you say the name. It's XU.
Oh, never
so
mind.
I'm not exactly sure how that goes.
My
but
bad.
He had sweatpants and he had a bunch of bags wrapped around his thighs and calves, and everybody said you could totally see that he was smuggling something.
Oh, God.
So.
Is that 51 turtles in your pants, or are you just happy to see me?
So is that a no?
Yes, this is a no.
Was it Bean? However, Seattle police are currently hunting for a man caught on video pooping on his neighbor's lawn. We have to ask the question, was it Bean? You know this was Bean.
Hometown and all, let's be honest.
Seattle man
right.
poops on neighbor's lawn.
Right.
By the way, have you guys seen the surveillance video of this? This guy kept seeing poop in his yard, and it was too big to be a dog. And he put up a camera and saw the guy who was doing it in his bushes. The guy was definitely not me.
Did the guy see Bean on that videotape?
No, he did not. No. It was not me. This one is definitely not me.
Here's what I'll tell you is they haven't found them yet.
Really?
So in the other two stories, we actually had names of people other than Bean. I believe we might need to wait this one out. Because I believe that perhaps it was Bean.
We'll be asking the question every day. Was it Bean?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:38. Hey, Rodney.
All right, K-Rock, 106.7.
Good to see you.
Rodney on the Rock Show. You're listening to Rodney on the Rock.
What's
coming up next? Kaja Gugu.
No, it's not your show. You're joining our show for a minute.
Interview with Vicki Peterson of the Go-Go's.
Bangles. So, Rodney, you love the rock music. And
I
you've been
love
on K-Rock.
The 80s.
You do especially love the 80s music. You've been on K-Rock.
The 90s.
Playing, right. You're not fond of the 90s for some reason.
No.
You've been playing the music on K-Rock for many, many decades, but we didn't know until fairly recently that you also are a student of comedy as well.
I love comedy. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
That's not
all
really...
All right, come on in, Brian.
That's not really a joke, though.
That's not how jokes work, Rodney.
Much as it is a bad story.
I wish he was at the door.
Right.
So, Rodney...
Right.
What we're doing is we're giving away these tickets for Hilarity for Charity. It's a big event that's happening Friday night at the Palladium. Seth Rogen, Sarah Silverman, Craig Robinson, Bill Burr, and more. We have listeners on the line. This is not music. They're not looking for 80s all bands, right. Okay? They're going to give you the setup for a joke, and they're going to see if you know the punchline. And if they're able to stump you, if you don't know the punchline, they go into the drawing for the tickets,
big
okay?
Big audio dynamite.
Again, that's not what we're looking for here.
It's going to be a punchline that comes that after they tell the setup of the joke.
All right, salt and pepper.
So stop answering yet. We haven't really begun.
Peter Gabriel.
Let's start with Maria.
What about the intro?
Let's hit the intro.
Good morning.
Hold on, Maria.
What's wrong with you?
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Rodney the Joke Machine.
This is Rodney Bingenheimer. He likes to tell a lot of jokes. You would not think that this dude is a really funny guy. You tell him any joke and he will tell you what the punchline is. And that's how he got his nickname, Rodney the Joke Machine.
Hey! He's Rodney the Joke Machine, the Joke Machine, he's Rodney.
Hi, Maria.
Wigwam bam.
Good morning.
Take two.
Rodney the Joke Machine, you have set up for a joke?
My show's not good, but I know you're going to play intros.
Yeah, you do. What's your joke, Maria?
What do you see when the Pillsbury boy bends over?
The Pillsbury Doughboy, you mean?
Yes.
Yes. What do you see when he bends over?
Sinead O'Connor.
That would be weird.
It would.
If that was the case.
Nothing compares to her.
Wow.
Is it Sinead O'Connor, Maria? Right.
No, it's not. It's those nuts. Sorry.
Wow. I don't want her to win.
I'm
I'll
sorry
tell
for the joke as well as
donuts. Donuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be, yeah.
Not does nuts.
I'm not sure. This is going well so far, I think.
So the setup was bad. Her punchline was wrong.
That's
where
right.
we're at so
and
far.
And yet she's on hold as a possible winner. All right.
Okay.
Let's go to Andrew in Pomona. Hi.
Hey, Kevin Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
All right.
Stump Rodney the Joke Machine. Or whatever we're calling this. It's the beginning of the joke.
All right, Rodney, how do you get a one-armed blonde out of a tree?
Spandau Ballet.
It's not Spandau Ballet.
Does that make sense to you?
Take her to see Spandau Ballet. She'd have to come out of the tree for that.
Andrew, is that right? Is Rodney correct?
No, you waved to her.
It's a kind of a classic right. joke that you probably have known since third grade, Rodney. I'm surprised you didn't have that one.
Still take her to see Spandau Ballet. They're awesome.
Okay, lines. You're missing the point. All right, Andrew's in the drawing. Let's see what all Anthony right. can do for us. He's on line three on Pico Rivera.
Hi, Anthony.
Hi, how's it going?
Very good, thank
Dad.
You.
Dad.
Not good. Okay, not good. That's true. Give us a joke, please.
Okay, why did seagulls fly by the sea?
Flock of seagulls!
You recognized a word in that joke?
That's it. Because they ran so far away.
That's not bad, but it can't possibly be the answer. Anthony?
Because if they flew by the bay, they'd be called bagels.
See what he did there, Rodney? You understand the concept? See that why that's funny?
See, they go by the seas.
They serve bagels at Canners.
Nope. That okay. has nothing
I
to do with
Canners.
It. Thank you.
Anthony's in the drawing. Thank you. How about... How about Chelsea in the Diamond Bar? He's on line four. This segment brought to you by Cantor's.
Cantor's is the best.
Right. All right.
They're in Fairfax.
Hi, Chelsea.
You go there and they'll give you food.
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Give them money after you eat it.
Stop talking about a restaurant. We're talking about jokes. And Chelsea has one for you.
Love Cantor's.
All right.
All right. What's the hardest part of a vegetable to eat?
Kate Bush.
I don't understand your answer.
Playing and learning.
I do, unfortunately.
It's very popular.
Chelsea, what's the answer?
A wheelchair.
A wheelchair? What's the hardest part of a vegetable to eat?
Because if somebody's mentally damaged, they also have to be in a physically damaged in a wheelchair? These sure. jokes don't make any sense.
A vegetable means you're sort of not functional as a person.
Right.
Right, but you can still walk.
Sometimes they move your show.
Okay.
All right. Unfortunately, Chelsea's also in the drawing. How many more of these do we have to do?
We got a couple more. Eric in Candy Country. Good morning.
Yeah, Eric.
Ooh, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
All right. Welcome to Rodney the Joke Machine.
Ooh. All right. So, Rodney, easy one. Why did the chicken cross the road?
Because Bob Geldof asked him to.
Okay,
for charity.
Because Bob Geldof asked him to for charity?
To get away from beer mugs.
That's not a joke.
Do we technically have to put him on hold?
No, it's not a joke.
That's not a joke.
We've already got the not a joke part covered on this end.
All right.
You don't have to also give us not a joke.
So Godhead.
So do I hang up on him? What do I do? Yes, thank you for calling, Eric. All right. Appreciate that. All right. How about one more, and how about Tony in Southgate?
All right. Hi, Tony.
Hi. How's it going?
All right.
Poorly.
Hi, Tony from Southgate.
Hi, Tony. Like your voice.
you
sound sexy.
Now you have to do your joke in the Rodney voice.
Okay.
He already is in the Rodney voice.
All right.
Hi. What do you call a fish without an eye?
Fish without an eye.
What do you call a fish without an eye?
Bananarama.
Is it Bananarama?
He laughed. I'm funnier than his answer.
No, it's...
Wait.
Fish without
eyes. Oh, see, because there's only an F and an SH.
Yeah. Because
there's no I. Mm-hmm. See?
Right.
Wow, these are the worst jokes of all time. They really are.
Oh, wait,
I'm proud.
Do Brian. Oh, God, please do Brian.
Okay. Well, I guess we can do one more.
All right.
Hi, Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hi. Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hi.
How you doing? What do you call four blondes ear to ear?
Four non-blondes.
Oh, Rodney might have gotten this one right.
Or Blondie.
Brian?
No, it's a wind tunnel.
Oh,
because they're blonde and they're not blonde, right?
Yes, it's blonde
air goes right through.
Blonde jokes are still a thing in the 21st.
All right, Maria, Andrew, Anthony, Chelsea, Tony, Brian. One of them is going to win tickets for a great event, Hilarity for Charity Prom Night, Friday night at the Palladium. Tickets available at hilarityforcharity.org. Or who
Hillary.
Wants to win them?
The winner is Anthony.
Yay!
I'm sorry, Anthony. Andrew.
What? You can't change it?
No, I have it. It's Andrew.
What?
I'm just sorry. I know. It's Andrew.
It is Andrew. It does say Andrew on there, so she spoke.
Sorry.
Hey, Anthony. Sorry about that whole
Anthony.
Thing.
It's Andrew.
I would sue.
All right, now Andrew hung up. That happened.
No.
Yep. That just happened.
Oh, damn it.
That just happened. Not one aspect of this game worked. Not one. The caller sucked. The intro, we screwed up. Nor did we give away any tickets.
Godhead.
Welcome back, Ralph.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
Right. He's Rodney, the joke machine, the joke machine. He's Rodney.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55.
The great Ken Marino joins us in studio right after the top of the hour from Reno 911 and Veronica Mars and Drunk History and The State and The New Marry Me that debuts tonight on the TV. So much great stuff. Children's Hospital. What a resume this guy has.
Reaper.
Am I right?
Yeah. Reaper?
Well, I'm afraid of Reaper. You know that.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, that's coming up right after 7 here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph is back. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Well, looks like we have a new Bond girl, Lea Seydoux.
She's ugly. I've not seen her, but that's a lot of bells.
Here's the thing.
They're usually pretty, right?
She's attractive.
Oh, really?
But in a very sort of European way. In a very sort of artsy European way. She's not a quintessential, she's not a classic Bond girl by any stretch of the imagination.
What do they usually use for that part? Is it usually a classic Bond girl is more American and what we would think of as mainstream beauty?
Long time they did. And then with the new sort of rebooted gritty Bond, they've gone for more interesting looks.
Right.
I mean, Eva Green was the first Bond girl under the Daniel Craig regime. And she was the stunner. But since then, they've gone with, like, more interesting looks.
All right.
And this falls under that category. You wouldn't look at her right away, and it wouldn't jump out at you, Bond girl. I think she's got a little sort of a Kate Mossy kind of vibe.
Oh, no. That's not a good vibe. I'm not a fan of hers.
She was a star. I think the reason they picked her is because she's sort of a hipster indie sort of darling right now. She was a star of a movie called Blue is the Warmest Color.
Oh.
Did you hear about this? This is the French lesbian romance film that got a ton of critical acclaim, and she's considered a very sort of hip pick right now. And so she apparently will be the new Bond girl. So you can look her up and see what you think. But why don't you look her up right now, Beerman? Why don't you do something?
I don't even know how to spell Leah.
Well, I'll help you out. L-E-A, Leah, is her first name.
Okay, hold on. Hold on.
We don't have time for this.
Did you think something has changed in the speed with which...
I try to... Hope springs eternal, Kevin. I was trying.
And then every time you come back...
I got it. Leah, what?
Right. Seydoux. S-E-Y-D-O-U-X.
Whoa.
That's French. That's a French spelling.
That is French.
There she is. Good. Pop. Now click images.
Woo!
And there you go. There you see. There she is.
Interesting. In some of her photos, she does look like
Doesn't
it a
Kate Mossy kind
but
of thing,
other,
though?
Yeah, other photos, she does look sort of weird.
That's what I'm saying. She's sort of like a hip European pick.
I think I like her.
All right. Kevin approves.
I approve this message.
So she's our new Bond girl.
They've made very few. I don't think they've made any poor casting choices since Daniel Craig's been James Bond.
No. Look, I know for a fact she's a powerful actress. Just sometimes when you think Bond girl, you think a little bit more va-va-voom. Although that picture is va-va-voom, va-va-voom.
She has taken some.
All right, never mind. I stand corrected.
All right.
Lord, I love Lord. Lord is someone I love. I love Lord.
She's great.
God bless Jesus. Oh, we're the singer. Sorry.
Yes. And she has a great sense of humor, which I love about her. Recently, South Park made fun of her in a recent episode. Did you see that?
I didn't see it.
Lord actually turned out to be not Cartman's dad. Stan's dad.
Stan's dad.
Yeah. And they made fun of her music. Here's a little clip of one of the Lord parody songs that was supposed to be Lord in the episode from South Park. Just her singing. I am Lord. I am Lord. Now, a lot of artists, I'm thinking of like Tom Cruise and other people, do not like being made fun of in South Park.
Yeah.
Have threatened legal action in some cases. Lord apparently has a pretty terrific sense of humor. She recently posted on Instagram, "Take that, haters. I got a South Park episode." And she's also talked about how much she loves the fact that they make fun of her. To take it one step further, she was doing an interview for New Zealand's TV3 News. And she started, they asked her about the South Park episode. And she said she loved it so much. And then she broke into this.
Yeah, I'm Lord.
She started to sing the parody song.
Awesome.
From the South Park episode, so she's the best.
She's impressive.
She sure is.
Still 17, by the way.
Yeah. I know.
Yep.
Yeah. She's curating music for the Hunger Games movie, and she's a force of nature.
She's got it all.
She sure does. And congratulations to Universal. Universal Studios building a theme park in China. Universal Parks and Resorts will be spread across 296 acres in Beijing's Eastern District.
Wow.
With an option to expand to 1,000 acres. It'll probably have both a Harry Potter and Transformer land, and also the traditional Universal City Walk that they always put in their theme parks with a hotel and stores and dining facilities. But apparently, it's going to be a big deal.
It's a big market.
Hope they have a John Lovitz Comedy Club there.
That would make it great.
That would make it perfect if they just had that. I am a douchebag. Thank you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Roger Moore is 87 years old today. Singer Thomas Dolby. Science! He's 56. Lori Petty is 51 years old.
Recently seen on Orange is the New Black.
That's correct. From the Racing Petty family. She's a hell of a NASCAR racer as well.
Nope. Ugly.
Sportscaster Jim Rome. Lori Petty, not a racer. Now you've done it. He is 50 years old today. Steve Coogan, one of my favorite funny people, is 49 years old. John Cena. Anything?
You mean Cena?
Nope.
I don't know who it is then.
I got to cross this off the list because I don't know who this person is. I shouldn't say that name again.
Plus, you don't want...
Do know him, but I don't recognize the name.
And you don't want to go to Bugs for any kind of
answers. No, I do not.
Answers.
He's 44 years old.
Why is our producer not listening to the show and weighing in on who he put on your birthday?
I don't know. It's because David King Mesko, it is his job to put the list together, but apparently he's not listening to the show right now. Natalie Maines, we know her from the Dixie Chicks, 40 years old today. Usher is 36. Stacey Keebler's 35. Comedian Jay Farrow, who's very funny on Saturday Night Live, 27 years old today. By the way, Saturday Night Live, recently Bill Hader was the guest.
Right.
It tied for the lowest rated episode of Saturday Night Live ever.
Really?
Wasn't that a surprise?
Ever.
Wow.
People stayed away and drove. That's right, Lisa. You're mean, but that's right.
I thought it was a good episode, too.
I didn't see it. Nor did anyone else, apparently. Yeah.
Nor did anyone else, right.
Producers said low ratings for Saturday Night Live are no laughing matter, much like the show itself. And Pia Toscano, she is the voice of the Kings. 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, Marry Me premieres tonight at 9 on NBC, making his final ever appearance on The Kevin and Bean Show. Ken Marino.
What happened? Why? What's going on?
Really well, because sad. We heard that you're probably going to get the Ebola this week.
Oh,
we heard
God.
That,
I hope
we not. Heard that you're hitting the road and you're heading into Ebola town.
I am, yes. No, I bought a suitcase full of Ebola and I just am going to
tell us your travel schedule.
So I'm going to Seattle, then to New York, and then to Denver. And then back to L.A., and then that's just
in
the next
days?
24 hours or 48 hours. And then then I'm here, I shoot, and then I go do the same thing, same sort of schedule next week.
No. You'll be too sick by next week. You'll be in quarantine by then. You won't be able to take that second leg of the promotional tour.
Please don't say that.
Ken, it's almost impossible to not get the Ebola now. Are you aware of how it's blowing up?
We've been working. I had my head down. I was trying to make a funny show for NBC and for all of America. And now you're telling me that this virus is going around. And now
may be exaggerating a bit. Well, for those of us that are left that don't catch it, we'll be happy to have something funny to watch on TV. So
you
are doing a public service. We appreciate it.
You're in quarantine, what are you going to do? You got to watch something.
Right. Watch TV.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. You're on so many shows all the time. I can't imagine what your schedule is like. Do you ever get any time off, Ken?
Sometimes, but it's a nice problem to have, which is I've been working and that's always good, you know, because then I get to pay my bills.
Well, that helps. You seem to really genuinely be excited about Marry Me.
I am. I'm very excited about it. I'm very proud of the show. I think it's super funny, and I'm excited for people to watch it. Hopefully people will watch it. Please watch it.
I love this
love
article.
God, watch it.
Yeah, I love this article in the DailyBeast.com. The headline is, Marry Me proves Ken Marino is more than just an a-hole. Now, please notice, they don't say you're not an a-hole. They just say you're more than an
that's
a-hole.
That's right. I'm not just an a-hole. There's so much more to me than my ass-holishness.
Yes, as long as you use it that way, yeah.
All right, yeah, okay, good.
Ken Marino played an a-hole in Party Down, an a-hole in Role Models, an a-hole in Burning Love, and now he's playing the romantic lead in an NBC sitcom and killing it. Marry Me has the best opening scene of any new TV comedy this series, and Ken Marino, who stars in the new NBC sitcom, knows it. Wow, that's some high praise right there.
Well, I mean, I can talk a lot of positive praise about the stuff I'm in if you'd like.
Tell us about Marry Me. What is it? What part do you play?
Marry Me. I'm one part of a couple that Casey Wilson is is my girlfriend, then fiance is in the pilot. We get engaged. Or I don't want to spoil it for you, but there is an engagement that might or might not happen. Spoiler alert.
I never would have guessed that on a show called Marry Me.
Yeah. And we're a couple that, we get engaged and we're entering this new chapter in our lives. And, it's just an ensemble show about how we deal with that with our friends and our family. And it's pretty darn funny. It's from the creator of the guy who wrote Happy Endings, David Casp. Mm-hmm. And it's a show that's riddled with jokes, but it has a lot of heart, and it also kind of cuts that heart with that saccharine with some pretty subversive jokes. So it's a fun show.
I got to tell you, the last two or three weeks, we've done a phone-in topic where listeners call in and tell us about their proposals gone wrong. Because I think there was a story in San Diego where he took her up in a hot air balloon and it ended up in the ocean.
Oh, God.
Yes. That's right.
Oh, God.
It crashed after.
Yeah. So terrible.
That seems bad, right?
Yeah, that's a sign, right?
Well, you would think so.
You know, if you have a bad proposal story, that's definitely a sign that it's not meant to be. So just go the other direction.
Just run?
Yeah, just run the other way.
I think that's the problem, though, is that the hopes are so high for that. It has to be for the girl, too.
Expectations have gotten out of control for proposals. It's not enough anymore, Ken, that you're going to spend the rest of your lives together, that you're asking her to marry. Now you also have to have some sort of, some sort of YouTube video out of it with people lip-syncing an Indian song.
It's a very special, you only get one shot. I mean, make all checks payable to Eminem, but you only get one shot. And it's got to be impressive.
And by the way, I feel bad for the girls, too, because that's what all other females ask immediately. How did he propose?
Right. How did he propose?
How did he do it? If she doesn't have a good story, it sucks.
Yeah, she can just make it up.
Yeah,
I proposed to my wife in Central Park, on a bridge in Central Park. I had it all planned out. And then I saw the weather report, and it was going to rain. And so, like, I tried to rush her to Central Park. We had taken a red eye from L.A. And she's like, don't wake me up. If you wake me up again, I'm going to kick your ass. And I was like, come on, no. I just want to, you know, let's go get some brunch and we'll just go, like, up to the park. So we went to the park and it started drizzling. And so, like, if it was a movie, it would have been beautiful. You
and
know,
romantic.
It would have been, like, cinematic. Like, everything's wet. And right. So, but in real life, it was just a moist proposal. But it was nice. It was still romantic. We had an umbrella. It was fine.
But you put some thought into it, and I'm sure she appreciated that.
She did. Hey, our 9-year anniversary just passed. Yeah. So
in
everything's
Hollywood,
working
that's,
out.
That's
just
a golden
fine.
Anniversary.
That's right.
In Hollywood.
It's like dog years. It's like times up by 7.
Kevin's right, by the way. The first question is, how did he ask? The second question is, let me see the ring, and translates to, I want to see if it's big enough. And then far down on the list is, do you think this is the right person to be marrying? Like, that's not even the consideration.
9 or 10 on the list. 9 or 10.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem with the marriages.
This creator of your show, your show Marry Me, by the way, he is married to your real-life co-star on the show, right?
David Casp is married to Casey Wilson.
Casey
Casp
Wilson.
Now.
So he's there basically on set all the time watching you make out with his wife?
Yes, that's right. And it's a little weird. He's very jealous. And so he sometimes – I mean, for the most part, I'm not even allowed to do scenes with Casey. It's just I'm working with a guy in a green suit and tennis balls. Andy Serkis's brother, Jeremy Serkis, who's a lesser-known guy, he comes in, and then I do all my scenes with him, and then they put Casey in later in post.
Sounds like an awful lot of post-production work for a sitcom.
Then most of the budget goes to the post-production. But, you know, I mean, it worked great for Planet of the Apes, and it's going to work great for Marry Me.
All right. Sure. Perfect. Marry Me debuts tonight at 9 on NBC. Ken Marino's our guest. Quick break. We'll be back with more right after this on K-Rock. The hilarious and hunky actor Ken Marino in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
His new
show
is called Hunky?
Ever.
No.
His new show is called Marry Me. It premieres tonight on NBC. This is this the latest premiering show on the major networks, Ken? They really held this one back.
I know it's late, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not up on the schedule of all the shows. I wish I was. And I wish I could tell you definitively that this is the latest, but I don't know.
In his defense, he was not aware of Ebola. So he's been working pretty hard.
Thank you for defending me.
He's been out of the loop a little bit.
I'm definitely out of the loop.
It seems like there's crazy, unrealistic pressure on TV shows to have that debut smash week. You know, like, it's hard to get people's attention. It's hard to get people to change their schedules. It's hard to get people to know there's a new show on and to try it out that first time. But there's so much riding on it these days, isn't there?
I think so, yeah. I mean, definitely. You know, and I think that there's so many channels and so many shows now that they just want to make people aware as much as possible and get people to watch it that first couple of weeks, because that means everything in a way, you know.
And very few shows get that kind of just where instant response. Usually it takes a while to grow an audience, and you don't seem to have that kind of time these days.
Yeah, I don't think you do, and I can't think of what show kind of came out with a you know, like,
well, like, to
me,
New Girl was a hit immediately. And
right. Hit the ground running. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yes. That was, I guess, considered a hit when it came out.
Yeah, right away. But most, even if they end up being hits, aren't hits at the beginning, so.
No, but Marry Me will be a hit, hopefully.
Have
fingers
you done
crossed.
much drama, Ken?
From my lips to God's ears. What?
Have I done much drama?
I feel like what we're doing right now is dramatic.
I mean, I know you've showed up on episodes of – we're trying Grey's Anatomy once, I seem to remember.
I did a Grey's Anatomy.
Like,
I've done some, you know –
Californication,
hour
I remember
long.
You were on that.
Too. Yeah, but that was comedic. I don't know. I mean, I've done some. I've tried to do some. A lot of the stuff I do is comedy, but you know, there's been I wrote a movie called Diggers, which was both comedic and dramatic at times that I did a while back. You know, I enjoy it, but comedy is you know, sorry.
Yeah, we can't say that word.
Yeah, sorry. I have
no worries.
It's
they changed that rule since you were working it out of the loop a little bit.
Listen,
too.
It's
you
early.
Don't say the S word on the radio.
I apologize. It's what can right. I do? I can't turn back time.
No, it's all right. Don't worry.
You
about
guys
it.
Can.
No one heard it. The weekend after next, you're going to be back on stage with your buddies from the state at Festival Supreme, which is that amazing comedy festival that's going on at the Shrine Expo Hall and Grounds, curated by our friends in Tenacious D.
Yes.
How much do you guys see each other from back in the day, you state guys?
We're all still friends. I mean, you know, the guys who are out here, I see Tom a lot and Joe a lot, Joe Latruglio, and I talk to Black, David Wayne I see a lot, Showalter I see from time to time. Anybody who's out here, I see. I mean, we're
isn't
all
it incredible how successful so many of you guys from that show were back in the day?
It's very strange that everybody is still working in this business.
Same with Party Down, by the way. Everybody on that show continues to have a great career, too.
Yes, Party Down. Everybody got jobs after Party Down, which I'm thrilled about. So we didn't have to resort to catering.
in real life.
In real life.
When you do your set for the state, I mean, is that a lot of pressure just because the show, you know, has continued to grow in reputation since it's been off the air? There's probably a lot of expectations for that, I imagine.
Are
you super nervous because it might completely flop, I think is the question.
Well, the answer is no, I'm not. I mean, I think we're just going to have fun and it'll be ridiculous and we're going to do some new material and some old stuff that we've done, and it's going to be a blast. It's just going to be nice to see everybody. We're all getting together, the 11 of us, the week before, and we're going to rehearse, and it's going to be fun because we don't get to do that often.
Although you'll lose one or two to the Ebola before the actual performance.
That's right. And then, of course, you know, usually we kill somebody by the end of the rehearsal. So we'll lose another one.
I think you could still do the show in a hazmat suit, though, couldn't you?
Well, actually, I think the whole show is done in a hazmat suit.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah. All right, good. All right. We have a couple of clips here, don't we, Kevin, from Marry Me tonight at 9 on NBC.
We have one main clip, and it is you trying to propose. And she's yelling. Do you want to set that up?
I think you just did.
Okay, there you go.
I can't believe you didn't propose on this trip, Jake.
Would you just turn around?
Garbage friend Gil get in your head again?
Garbage friend?
It's your mom, isn't it? Guess what? Don't like her.
She's been through a lot.
Of friends. She's been through a lot of friends.
Would you just turn around?
Wait. Wow. That's a beautiful ring.
Okay, everyone. Should we move on to the toasts? Mom, do you want to kick us off?
See, because she was insulting his mom.
Uh-huh.
She's right there in the room.
I get it.
You're on top of it.
I am. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sharp.
The fear was that was going to be too deep for us, but I think we were able to track with it.
Congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
The show looks funny, Ken.
Thank you so much. I'm very proud of it. I hope people watch it.
I hope they do, too. It's tonight at 9 on NBC. Don't miss it. It's called Marry Me. Ken Marino.
Yes.
Thank you for having me, guys.
It was very polite applause, wasn't it?
It was. It was.
Sort of like a golf clap.
Sort of formal.
Hey, keep on listening to good old K-Rock all this week, including every hour this morning on the Kevin Bean Show, to score a pair of front-of-the-line passes to Not Scary Farm. Details at krock.com. Tis the season, you know. Hey, speaking of tis the season we're going to die of the Ebola. Hit it, Steve.
Lightning can be deadly. Don't take chances with lightning. Stay safe.
Everybody say hey!
Lightning is violent and unpredictable.
Everybody say ho!
Even today, nobody fully understands the effect lightning has on its victims.
Everybody scream!
When lightning strikes, people listen.
Ebola! Ebola! Don't touch your friend!
No touching. Love me the Ebola.
Ebola's the best, isn't it?
It's awesome.
Hey, former producer of the Kevin Beach Show, now the man who runs KRock.com, Lightning. What's going on, dude?
What's happening, guys? Good morning. We're all going to die, just FYI.
That's what I'm saying. Kevin doesn't believe it.
That's ridiculous. How many cases are in America?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I know that there are, like, dozens and dozens of false alarms that are happening. Like,
right. Because,
LA
you know
Times
why? Because there's, like, two people that have it.
Yeah, true. Someone just died in Germany. So a UN medical worker just passed away in Germany. And last night I'm watching CNN. They dedicated an entire freaking hour talking to the neighbor of Nina Pham, who was the nurse of the dead doctor in Dallas.
CNN could not be happier about this.
Like, this is their Malaysian plane, exactly.
This has been 24/7 coverage for them.
Like, did they put down the nurse's dog? Is that what I heard?
I don't know. I'm trying to stay away from that story as best I can.
Because dogs can apparently transmit Ebola as well. And you probably saw the guy on the L.A., I think, city bus yesterday who stood up and said, hey, don't give me a hard time. I've got the Ebola. And now they're looking for him because they think they're considering it a terrorist threat. I mean, it's getting very serious. And Lightning's our man that we sent out on the street to poll the people, to talk to them about what's on their mind. And did you find a lot of awareness about Ebola in your interviews? Were people paying attention to the storyline?
They are. They are paying attention. And I find, you know, you've got people who think there's no way it's – like Omar, for example. I was talking to him earlier.
Right.
He's like, I didn't think it would ever come over here. There's no way. It's America. It's just we kind of beating our chest like – we're Americans. It ain't coming over here. And then you've got the other people who say, like, oh, it's a government conspiracy.
Sure.
Like, it's coming over here.
Sure.
We have plenty of vaccine, and they're not giving it to us. Kind of like a rapper Chris Brown tweeted yesterday, that it's a population control. You see that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, he did that.
Does he think it's a government conspiracy?
God. Yes.
That's awesome, though.
Yes.
I mean, that's strong. I hadn't even thought of that.
Oh, go on. The, dude, if you go Google Ebola government conspiracy, oh, forget it. It's UFO. All over again.
I love it.
Is it? Is this George W. Bush took down the Twin Towers again? Is that what we're dealing with
it
here?
It could be.
So where'd you go? Like, who'd you talk to this time around?
So I find myself at random motorsports events all over the place, and they have usually pretty good cross-sections of people. So Saturday night, I was at the Formula Drift event at Irwindale, and it was sold out. So I immediately went right up to the beer lines, which, of course, that's where you find the smart people.
Guy.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
And this is Lightning Strike.
Indeed. We're worried that Ebola is going to get everyone.
I'm worried, too. I'm running away from Ebola.
What precautions are you guys taking?
I'm going to get me a glove, and I'm going to use it everywhere I go. When I pump my gas, when I go and have to touch railings, I'm going to have that glove on. I have my sanitizer right here.
Do you really?
I sure do.
Talking about Ebola, we're worried about it coming over here. Are you worried about Ebola?
A little bit, actually.
Yeah,
because you think about it, like, what kind of precaution are we taking here? You know, there's no precaution we're taking here. There's no examination or anything. You know what I mean? So how do we know that nobody, you know, how do you know my homeboy here doesn't have Ebola, right?
Do you have Ebola?
I don't have Ebola.
Are you scared of Ebola?
No.
Anyone here scared of Ebola?
No.
I got allergies. I'm getting bad enough, you know?
Are you concerned with you or your family getting Ebola?
Yeah, it is scary. I'm a little scared to fly on a plane. I'm pregnant right now, so I guess now that you mentioned it, maybe I should be a little more concerned. So,
are you scared of Ebola getting you?
No.
What about the impending zombie apocalypse?
That's a different story. I take that dead serious. You got a plan. You got to read books. You got to do push-ups in your room. You got to train. Got to buy guns. I do all that.
But look, I mean, Ebola, we're one, two steps away from a zombie apocalypse.
They don't have walking Ebola on AMC. They don't have people talking about Ebola. You know, walking Ebola, I don't see that. They don't have Ebola con. So, you know, like with AIDS back in the 80s, like it's mostly just all you're going to get is from feces, semen, you know, skin contact, blood contact, nasal in the mouth. Unless you're hanging out where in a neighborhood where people are pooping on the ground and rubbing it on their face, I mean...
LA.
Yeah.
So are you scared of Ebola coming over here and getting you?
Hell no.
Not at all.
Ebola is under control. Our government would not let Ebola hit our country.
USA! USA! USA!
Are you scared of Ebola?
Very scared. I heard it was really scary. And dangerous. Or bad for health.
Yeah, it could kill you. Of course it's bad for your health.
I've heard, and that's why I've been sort of scared, but I don't really know how to catch it. I heard on the people are freaking out on airplanes about it, but I guess you have to, like, it has to really, like, if someone sneezes on your face and in your nose, then you'll get it, but...
Change your behavior at all?
I try not to sneeze on anybody. She sneezed on me earlier, and I was...
You're worried that if she sneezes on you, you could get Ebola?
If someone sneezed on her and then she sneezed on me, then I think that's a possible way to get Ebola. But I don't think just being next to somebody that doesn't sneeze on you... It has to be like a fluid thing, I think. I've heard, maybe. Like a bodily fluid.
I'm just scared of the zombie apocalypse, because I'm pretty sure that's what's happening.
So the Walking Dead are coming, and they've got Ebola.
100%. That I heard people were coming back from the dead and stuff. That is zombie.
So what if a person with Ebola jumped into, like, the L.A. reservoir and into our water system? Then what? We would all die!
We're gonna die!
Section. By the way, that reference that that guy made to the zombie coming back to life, do you know that story, Lightning?
No,
do you
know the guy I don't know that story.
I don't know. This is amazing. This is in one of the African countries, probably Liberia, where they have it hit hardest. And they're out of beds. They're out of medical personnel. They're out of safe places that they can take you. So if you are on the street dying of Ebola, they just leave you there.
What?
Until you're dead. When you're dead, they do send somebody around to body bag you and take the body away. Well, they have video. They had a news reporter from an American TV station. I think it was ABC who was standing out on a sidewalk saying there's one of the dead Ebola victims laying on the street. And here comes the people to put him in the bag. And as they put him in the bag, the guy started moving.
Awesome. What?
The guy was still alive, and the people wanted to take the bag off of him and leave him on the street and turn around and drive away, except there was a mob on the street that basically was threatening to riot unless they took that poor man to go get some medical help. Not that they were going to be able to save him. He was too far gone. But it's insane that there are people literally that have Ebola that are just dying on the sidewalks in Africa right now. Right?
Right.
Plus, The Walking Dead is probably real.
That's true, too.
Guys, we are going to die.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53.
I bet there were some people listening last week who thought we were lying when we promised that Ralph Garman would be coming back and would be taking the showbiz beat over. But we were right, and it's true, and he's here, and it's time for the showbiz beat.
Trust me, as long as they're still mentioning me, I'll be coming back. If they never address why showbiz beat is suddenly different, that's when you know it's permanent.
It's permanent.
It's gone. Yeah, because they just will act like I never existed.
That's how radio works.
That's how you work. I know for sure.
That's how we will work.
Yeah, you'll be like, okay, and now here's this new person with the entertainment report. They'll change the name of it and everything, and they'll just never address it. You'll never know why.
I don't know if we're active enough to change the name.
Nothing will ever be heard from me again. Yeah. That's how you'll know, people. As long as they keep mentioning me and mocking me and stuff, you know, I'll be back.
We didn't mock you, man. We missed you, seriously.
Yeah, you mocked. You mock. Mock. You're a mocker. Hey, I want to give you something because I'm back. Let's celebrate. How about some tickets to a screening of Birdman?
Yay!
New film starring Michael Keaton. It's about damn time Michael Keaton starts starring in films. Zach Galifianakis, Edward Norton. Story of a... This is the snake eating its own tail, this story, about an actor who once played an iconic superhero who now has to overcome his ego and get back into the entertainment business. Starring a guy who once played an iconic superhero who is now coming back and getting back into the entertainment business. Just, by all accounts, a terrific, terrific film. I had a chance to hang out with Chris Hardwick when I was in New York last week. We were both doing some work at the New York Comic Con. And Chris just said it was one of his favorite movies ever, and certainly one of the best movies of the year.
Awesome. Yeah, it is. People are going crazy for this thing.
It comes out this weekend?
It is in theaters everywhere on October the 17th.
Yeah, so that's Friday. Fantastic.
But we are having a special K-Rock screening of Birdman tonight! Tonight!
So don't go if you can't go tonight. I mean, don't call.
At the Arclight Hollywood. Yeah, don't go if you can't go.
If you can't go tonight.
Also, don't call if you can't go.
Waste the tickets.
But call
right now
and
we'll get right back to you.
We'll get right back to you, yes. I've got three pairs of tickets right now. 1-800-520-1067. Three pairs of tickets. First, three people get through at 1-800-520-1067. We'll go see Birdman!
Is that how they say it?
No. Oh. Not at all. Speaking of the Comic-Con in New York City, I was also there at the behest and with the generous support of the United States Postal Service. My good friends at the USPS.
You don't like the Postal Service,
right? Love them.
Oh, now you
love them more than ever because they're really nice people.
When you left
and
last
week, I have
not a fan.
I don't like going to the post office.
Okay. Right.
But it turns out I do love the USPS, the Postal Service, which is very different.
I see.
And they're very nice people. And now we are very close. And now I have close friends with the Postal Service.
Oh, my gosh. 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 Oh, my gosh.
And other people don't have close friends in the Postal Service. That's all I'm saying.
I'm okay with that.
Really? I'll be honest.
And they asked me to launch alongside some industry bigwigs like Jim Lee and Dan DiDio from DC Comics, launch the Batman stamps. They're releasing 4 Batman stamps to honor Batman's 75th anniversary.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. They've got a stamp from the Golden Age, the Silver Age, the Bronze Age, and the Modern Age of the character. 4 different stamps, 4 different versions of Batman, and 4 different bat symbols are out there. Anyway, so I was tweeting about it while I was in New York, and a ton of people have sent me emails. I read my work email this morning saying, how do I get the tickets? The stamps, where do I go? You obviously can buy them at the post office. But you also can go to USPS.com, and they've got a – you can click on stamps, and you can buy them right there.
No kidding.
So, yeah, I just want to give people a heads up because a lot of people were asking me how they got the – how they get Batman stamps, and so that's how you can get them.
Now, Ralph, these are forever stamps, as they do these days, which means that for the rest of your life, if you buy enough of them now, you can use Batman stamps on every piece of mail you ever send.
That's right.
Pretty cool.
I asked the chief information officer there, Jim Cochran, my good friend at the Postal Service.
Wow.
Do you ever expect to see any of these in circulation? Will anyone put them on an envelope? Because I'm assuming most of the people who will buy them will be collectors, right?
Yeah, they just keep them.
And he said, you'd be surprised. People will buy some to collect and put aside, but they get a ton of them so they can put them on their Christmas cards and stuff like that. So USPS.com is where you go to buy your brand new Batman stamps.
Ooh, I should tweet that.
Yes, you should, Dane, because you love stamps. This may be my favorite thing ever. John Cleese, I was just talking about him last hour, and he was talking about how he's looking forward to death.
Yes.
He's pretty much done with life, and he said, I'm only going to be around for a couple more years, and I don't have to worry about ISIS or Ebola or anything, and all my favorite people are dead anyway, so I'll be having a good time. I hope he doesn't die anytime soon, because he still makes me laugh, like when he was on the Graham Norton talk show last week. You know Graham Norton, he's a British talk show host.
I'm aware of him. I don't think I've watched the show.
The show's on BBC America. If you get a chance,
it's so good,
you should
Kevin.
Watch it. Huh? It is one of the best talk shows out there.
Really?
Maybe the funniest talk show, hands down. Because they don't do bits, they don't do a lot of sketches and stuff. They do some, a little bit. But mostly it's just funny people talking. And Norton is different because he brings all of his guests out at once.
Really?
Sits them on a couch.
Interesting.
And talks to them and makes everyone talk to
each other. It's a round table thing?
It's not a round
table. It's like a dinner party more than it is an interview.
Yeah, it's not that formal. It's just people sitting down having a very entertaining conversation.
That sounds good.
And so two of his guests were John Cleese, one of my favorites, and Taylor Swift, one of my least favorites.
Yeah, the best person in the world ever.
And they were talking about her cat, her new cat, Olivia.
Yeah.
And they showed a picture of Olivia, her new cat.
Yeah. Olivia's so cute.
Shut up!
And John Cleese was just magical.
This is okay. Olivia.
How did it have the accident?
What? What accident?
Is that a proper cat? Or is it damaged? Is it wrecked? It's okay. The weirdest cat I've ever seen in my life.
Just mocked her cat right to her face.
Your cat is ugly.
And she's like pissy, you know, all like cranky.
Yeah. Look, I love Taylor Swift, as you guys know. But I also love John Cleese, and I thought that was hilarious what he did.
She's there with all
he was just having a laugh.
Her minute bowl body just flailing all over the place. All her giant stick limbs were just all akimbo. She was not happy.
I like too that she doesn't seem to have ever run into anybody in person who mocked her. Like it was such a foreign concept to her.
Yeah, Cleese the best. All right, today's celebrity birthdays: Pia Toscano. You know her from your Los Angeles Kings. She sings the national anthem before every game. Also, a very talented singer in her own right. 26 years old. Jay Farrow from Saturday Night Live is 27 years old. Stacey Keibler, 35. Natalie Maines turns 40 years old today. Usher's 36. Steve Coogan, speaking of funny Brits, he's one of them, 49 years old. Sportscaster Jim Rome, now I'm 50. Lori Petty is 51 years old today. Thomas Dolby,
science!
He's 56 years old. And Roger Moore, 007, 87 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph Garman is back, thank God.
Good to be back. Thanks, everybody.
I got to tell you that, you know how kids look forward to Christmas and then they open the gift and it's like maybe the best thing in the world to them and they're so full of joy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So happy.
Yes.
That's how Ralph is every time I screw up.
How dare you?
I look over and his eyes are wide open.
I don't.
He's not mean about it, but he's so excited. So that's why.
I take no pleasure in your malaprops.
Oh, you do. So that's why after last Friday, was it, B?
Yes, it was. I think it was a 7:05 Friday morning.
This is too long to have a moment with. I mean, there's too much here because It's impossible to screw up things more than I did.
Well, hold on.
You made a lot of bad choices in a row, if that's what you're saying.
We've heard you go on, Kevin,
yes,
for some marathon moments with.
This is 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
No way possible.
It's not me going on the whole time, but it's totally my
It's a comedy of errors. Look, can I tell Ralph what was going on? Okay.
Give me some context.
So 7:05 Friday morning, we're very excited that we are going to talk to Chad Coleman, who's the very fine actor who plays Tyrese on The Walking Dead. We're going to talk about the return of The Walking Dead Sunday night. So we're all set. Well, as sometimes happens with guests, and they're very busy, the timing doesn't work out, and they're not on the phone. So we're about a minute out from where we're supposed to talk to Mr. Coleman. And we may not have him, and Dave's not been able to get in touch with his people. So I look ahead on the schedule, and I see that coming up at 7:20, we're going to be talking to Gene Simmons, the great rock star Gene Simmons from Kiss, as played by our friend Mike Catherwood. So I says to Dave, I says, hey, can you get Mike on the phone, and maybe we'll talk to Gene Simmons at 7:05, and then if Chad Coleman calls, we can do him at 7:20.
Smart.
Dave says, got it. Christine calls. They get Mike on the phone. He's on hold.
Great.
Dave buzzes into the studio and says, we have Catherwood. And Kevin says, all right, so we're doing Mike here. We're doing Gene Simmons. Got it.
I said that out loud. All right.
Then the song is winding down.
Good plan. All right.
And we're on the air.
Yes.
And I start talking. So does this mean Tyrese is dead on The Walking Dead, too?
Oh,
if actor Chad Coleman is missing? I'm just saying.
He said we got him.
Got him on the line?
Yeah.
Finally returning.
It doesn't seem like when The Walking Dead is off, like the months seem like years. Like,
pause right there.
Not for 6 months, but it seems like 6 years. So what happened was,
you just said, Mike Catherwood on the line.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Gene Simmons, and Kevin has said out loud, got it. Mike's on the phone, Gene Simmons next.
So everyone's in agreement. Everybody knows that the line is blinking, and it's Mike Catherwood to play Gene Simmons.
And seconds later, Kevin puts on The Walking Dead theme music and says, we have
Chad Coleman
on the line.
So Lisa
assumed
that. He got on
the line.
And Bean assumed
everyone
that.
Must have.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Kevin's got some information that you don't have.
Well, here's some thing. Here's the thing. Dave can talk into my headphones, and you guys don't hear it, and nobody on the air hears it. So that's what everybody took for granted.
Obviously, why else would you play the music unless you didn't have information that other people
had? So Bean, on the fly, he was going to do Gene Simmons. He picked up on it, went right into the intro.
Music. He's ready. He's a pro.
He is a pro.
Got him on the line?
Yeah.
Finally returning. It doesn't seem like when The Walking Dead is off, like the months seem like years. Like it's gone for 6 months, but it seems like 6 years when it's gone.
It does seem like it has been forever.
It does. And we are so excited this time of year when we get back to get into the show. It debuts for season 5 on Sunday night at 9 on AMC. We are so excited to welcome Chad Coleman to the program. Hey, Mr. Coleman, how are you, sir? Hello, Chad.
There we go.
Okay, that's not... This isn't Chad. What are you doing, Kevin?
Wow.
Dave told us.
Talk about The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead.
Oh. What part of We Have Mike don't you guys understand?
We don't have Mike. We have Gene Simmons. I don't know what you're talking about. So Dave is frustrated. He's trying to figure out how this happened. And he's
so
baffled. He's baffled.
Dave, this must come as a surprise to him after he went to the work of setting it up so you wouldn't be embarrassed live on the air with this kind of screw-up.
Right.
And how surprised was Mike?
Mike must have been the most surprised of all because he's just calling. First of all, he's feeding the baby or something when Christine calls, and he thinks he's got 20 minutes. And Christine's like, can you go now? And he's like, okay, I'll go now. And then we introduce him as Chad Coleman from The Walking Dead, who he's never heard of. He has no idea why we're doing this.
Kevin, what were you thinking?
Honestly, I've thought about that because Bean immediately said, we have to wait till Ralph gets back. He'll love this. I've thought about it. I think I was not paying attention. I was on my computer or something when everything was being said. And in my mind, I think all I heard was, hey, 805 or 705 is going to be okay. I think. So I must have just taken for granted that that means that he got Chad at the last second. Honestly, I don't know.
But you look at the call screener when you go to the phone line, and that's where they had written Gene Simmons on the phone.
The conversation was had, though, in your presence just before you went live on the air.
And I repeated it. But I don't think I was listening to it at all even when I said it, because I was surprised to hear that I repeated it.
Here's what I think happens.
Yes.
You are you're an etch-a-sketch. You're a mental etch-a-sketch.
Okay.
Like if you're on
shut up, Bean.
If you're on the etch-a-sketch and you make a design with the knobs, you're on etch-a-sketch. That toy, you know that works?
I know.
And then if you take the etch-a-sketch and you shake it, whatever you had on that etch-a-sketch prior to that gone.
Yeah.
Just wiped clean.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you thought everything was fine, and you got into the thing, and then Bean, as a tease for the next segment, started talking about The Walking
Correct.
Dead.
Correct. Because we had been promoting him, that he was going to be on after the Showbiz Beat, so I thought I'll make a mention of the fact why Chad's not on. It's because we can't find him.
And that shook your Etch-A-Sketch.
Yeah.
And now all that's in your head is Walking Dead. Bean's talking about The Walking Dead. Walking Dead. Walk, dead, 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 dead. And the knob started to turn again,
yep.
And then you just went into Walking Dead mode.
I'd say that's pretty accurate.
I think that's what happened.
That's pretty accurate.
Now tell Ralph the part that I didn't even know about until after we talked to Gene Simmons, by the way. What did you do, Kevin, once you realized that Mike was on the phone and not Chad Coleman?
Oh, the delay thing?
Yes.
So we can get out of delay, which cuts out certain segment like 4 seconds at a time.
Right, in case somebody curses or something.
So for some reason in my mind, I thought, hey, I'm going to get out of delay. I'm going to hit, if I hit that 3 times, that'll erase the last 12 seconds. And this is my mind now. And we can make the save.
And none of this will have ever happened on the air.
And no one will have heard it. I mean, we've already been talking for over a minute.
Right.
So I don't know how I think 12 seconds is going to make
so
it go away.
So you just start hitting
three times.
The jump button.
Yeah.
So people who are listening now are really confused.
Yeah, now there's parts cut out and it sounds like a skipping record is what it sounds like. Our voices literally didn't make sense one into the next. So I did
and
that
of course,
as well.
And of course I have
and
no way of knowing.
No idea that I hit the delay.
Right.
None.
So even if it had worked, I would have kept on going talking to Gene Simmons. Because I don't know that now that's erased and now we're back to Chad Coleman. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Bean literally is really unable
well,
to go
quiet.
On.
I need to hear more of this, please.
Look, I was told that we were talking to Gene Simmons. And then you said, oh, we have him. I started talking about, oh, we don't have the Walking Dead guy. And you said, we do have the Walking Dead guy. So I thought,
exactly,
you must have called it at the last second.
This is actually Chad Coleman. Let me get Gene Simmons. He happens to be sleeping right next to me. Hold on 1 second. Excuse me. Gene Simmons, you want to talk to Kevin and Bean?
Oh, yeah. Hello? Kevin and Bean?
All right. Gene Simmons, you hold on for a second.
All right. Now, here's where Bean, I think, made the right call. Because Mike was going to try and get into Gene Simmons.
A bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And Bean's like, no.
Yeah, you can't. No.
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 Kevin. What happened?
You think this is going to help me?
I want to know what happened. We were told before the song ended that we weren't going to have Chad Coleman. We were going to have Gene Simmons. So I bring up, hey, we don't have Chad Coleman. And you're like, no, he's on the phone. Which
he's
leads
on the
me
phone
to believe
right now.
That he's on the phone. What's going on?
He's not on the phone. I don't know why you would say that. I don't understand this whole thing.
Lisa, what's happening right now?
I don't know. I'm very confused.
Bean, here's the awesome thing. When Dave said we have Mike on the phone...
We don't have Mike,
Gene
by the way.
Gene Simmons. Right. When we had Gene Simmons on the phone, Kevin repeated that. He's like, oh, okay, good. We have Gene Simmons on the phone.
Right, we don't need your help.
All I got to say is, guys,
yes,
there's not a day that goes by that I don't wish that I was back on the Kevin and Bean show. And it's moments like this that really reinforce that desire.
Well, that's because we're professionals.
To come back to a professional outfit like the Kevin and Bean show.
I have gotten a lot worse, Mike. I have. I really have. We need a half hour with Kevin now, I think, rather than just a moment.
Now, Kevin, you said that sometimes you're able to laugh at the moments when you just go, well, it's just a mess up.
Most of them I don't care. I screwed up. It's funny.
And how did this one affect your Friday and your weekend?
I was bummed all weekend. I was angry at myself. I hated myself.
You shouldn't be angry at yourself. You should be worried. Because they're going to find you roaming around in your neighborhood in a bathrobe and slippers.
Soon. I don't doubt that.
I'm not kidding.
I knew that.
We need to put a chip under your skin. We need to,
like
we
do
to
a
chip
dog?
You because you're not going to show up someday someplace.
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
All right. So that was fun for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of that band right there, Foo Fighters, they have their week-long residency going on the David Letterman Show, CBS, 11:30. And that's all this week. And then Friday night is the premiere of their brand-new HBO miniseries all about the making of the new record. Dave's going to be joining us Friday morning. What, like 8 o'clock, something like that?
I think so.
Yeah. Friday morning, Dave Grohl back here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So definitely stick around for that.
There's a story out of China. There was a grandmother who was washing her teeth in the bathroom.
And you mean washing her teeth, not brushing her teeth.
Nope.
They were out of her mouth.
Yep. She took out her teeth and she was washing them.
Okay.
And her hands were wet, so they slipped out of her hands and they hit the sink and they bounced into the toilet. Oh, so now her teeth are in the toilet. And the woman, who is 85 years old, decided that she needed to reach down into the toilet and retrieve her teeth.
Sure.
Which is absolutely the right call.
She got stuck.
That is not what you hope for.
85-year-old grandma, stuck for 4 hours.
Her arm is stuck in the toilet?
Yes.
By the way, we see a lot of these stories that are from questionable news sources in China, and I suspect that there's some guy making them up. But this one looks very legitimate, and there are photos of the grandma with her arm stuck in the toilet, and the rescue people there trying to free her.
The firefighters lubed up her arm so that it would slip back out of the toilet, and they were able to get her arm back out. But there is no mention of whether she got her teeth back or not. They might be gone, and that 4 hours was for nothing.
How embarrassing.
That is sad. That is sad. By the way, imagine her – I don't know if you've ever been stuck in anything, Kevin. I have. But imagine her surprise when she reached her arm down there to get the teeth, and she realized her arm was stuck. At first, she probably thought, oh, I'm stuck for a second. I'll just be able to pull this back
out.
And then a couple minutes later, and then it swells up or whatever the case may be. And then at some point she realizes, I literally cannot move and I am stuck here until I can get some help. It must have been terrifying for her.
An hour later, her daughter came home and called the police and the fire department. And so they came in and they rescued her. But
my brother-in-law, and that might be interesting to hear from our listeners who have ever been stuck in something. If they've ever gotten their arm stuck in something or their leg stuck in something for some length of time, it might be cool to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. My brother-in-law, when he was a little kid, like 10, 11 years old, and I think this happens to a lot of kids, put his head between the railings on a staircase and got his head stuck and couldn't get his head out.
That's happened to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I have a giant head. But the embarrassment was too much, so I just pulled.
You know, really?
I just, like, got out. You know, I'd cut the side of my head or something, but I'd move along with my day because I didn't want anybody to know that I was short bus at that time.
he could not. They had to remove that rail in the stairs in order to free him. They couldn't just lube his head and pull him out.
1-800-520-1067 if you have a story. Bean, it might have been the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Famously.
We
got stuck.
Used to put out Christmas CDs or cassette tapes or whatever the hell they were.
Morse code. In the day.
And we would do signings. And so people would wait in line to get them signed, to buy them and get them signed. And there were people waiting in line for a long time. And who locked their keys in their truck?
Was it Lightning?
It was Big Tad.
Big Tad.
Okay. So Bean says, I'll just go through the back window and I'll go in. I can reach. I have long arms. I can reach. And
I'm trying to do the guy a favor, sure. Right, by reaching in from the back of the cab of his truck and reaching the keys and pulling them out so he doesn't have to call, you know, and have somebody come and break into his car.
Now, the windows don't open very much in that the back window of the truck.
The little back window, yeah.
And Bean got halfway in. Did you get the keys? I think you did.
I can't remember.
Okay.
I can't remember because I got stuck.
Got stuck. Could not go forward. Could not go backward. Now, at this point, we're looking over at the line going, all of those poor people are waiting for us.
Yes.
Yes.
And Bean is in a truck stuck halfway through a window.
Half in, yes. Half out.
So Bean started thinking, you know, we don't want them to wait or whatever. He started pulling. He couldn't.
I was stuck. I was absolutely stuck in the truck and 200 feet away from a huge line. And by the way, I think this was just before everyone had cell phones. Otherwise, there would still be photos of this on the internet.
Yeah, it's
but
too bad.
I don't think there are any photos of it either.
Well, we pulled Bean out, or he got out by removing the back window of the truck. So
that
now Bean is standing in the bed of the truck with a window stuck around his waist.
Yes. I've never seen anything like it.
That was the only way I could come out is if I brought the window with me.
And I was like, let's go do the signing like this. He's like, nope. Figured out a way to get it off. But
just like with Grandma in the toilet, I mean, I couldn't believe that I couldn't get out because you would think – you know, if you
could
go
in, you could get out.
You should be able to get out, right? But it's just not the way it worked. So
yeah,
I was stuck in a moment that I couldn't get out of is what was happening there. So we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. What have you been stuck in? Tiffany, you hang on. Jim as well, and your calls, too, are coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show on Camera. Rob's got the Showbiz Beat coming up, and then our friend Johan from the band Linkin Park will be joining us in studio just after 9. First, though, we're taking your calls of things you got stuck inside of. No, Lisa, not like that. At 1-800-520-1067, talking about this poor 85-year-old lady in China who got her arm stuck in a toilet trying to retrieve her false teeth. She was in there for 4 hours until she got out. We got some great calls on the line. Why don't we start with Jim? He's in Riverside, and he's on line 2 to get us going.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys.
You got stuck. What happened?
So I was younger then, and I came home like 2 a.m. I was a little bit drunk, walked into the house and noticed water dripping from the ceiling of the hallway.
Ooh.
And in my wisdom, I thought, well, I've got to figure this out. And I grab a ladder and I crawl up in the crawl space of my attic. And so I'm walking across on the 2x4s and fell right through the ceiling.
Oh, no.
And I caught myself on my 2 armpits. So I'm hanging there from the ceiling.
So 2x4s under each arm.
Exactly. Legs akimbo.
Right.
And dislocated my left shoulder in the process.
Oh, ouch.
How, were you by yourself in the home?
I lived alone then.
And how long were you like that?
It was...
Are you still there? Can we get you help? Can we send an emergency...
I did have visions of someday somebody coming by and seeing my little skeleton legs hanging from the rafters.
Yeah, like 25 years from now.
Yeah,
seriously,
exactly.
how'd you get out?
Well, it really hurt, but I pulled myself up a little bit and managed to put my shoulder back in place.
And then, with
a very painful still shoulder, crawled up and back down the ladder and went to bed.
Wow.
So
it was kind of your own mini 127 hours experience.
I'm glad that movie hadn't come out because I probably would have been sawing.
I'm going to have to saw my arm off.
That's rough, dude. Thank you for the call, though, Jim. We really appreciate it. Let's go to Luna, something completely different. Line 4, please. Los Angeles.
Hi, Luna.
Hi.
You got stuck in what?
I was playing burrito with my brother.
Burrito?
And yes, and he rolled me up in the carpet and left me.
Older brother, I take it.
Yes, he was my older brother. We used to play games and stuff, you know, like lock you in the door, you know, in the closet and stuff like that. I wanted to pretend I was some cheese, so I laid in the carpet and then he rolled me up.
How old were you, did you say?
I was 9.
And how long were you in the carpet?
About 3 hours.
Wow. Was he there the whole time?
Yeah, he was running around laughing and thought it was really funny. And I was like, let me out, let me out. And all I saw was like this little itty bitty hole at the other end of the carpet. And I was trying to breathe and everything. And he just kept laughing.
Yeah.
And then he left.
I got to be honest, I think he did the right thing.
3 hours, by the way, is a large percentage of a 9-year-old's life. So
that's true.
A long time to spend on the run. All right, Luna, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Manny. He's in Riverside. He's on line 3. He's in Iraq when he gets stuck in something, by the way. That doesn't sound good.
Oh, no. Manny.
Yeah, how's it going? Our job was to search the houses during nighttime. And I was a really scrawny little kid, and everyone was, you know, southern cornbread guys. So we couldn't make noise to go inside the courtyard because the houses have big courtyards. So they tossed me over the fence, this brick wall. And between the brick wall, there's a barrier. So my helmet gets stuck in there. And here I am trying to, you know, be quiet and trying to open the door so we can go inside and search the house for the bad guys. But here I am stuck with a helmet right in the open. You know, the bad guys can shoot me. Yeah.
Now you couldn't take the helmet off and get out of it?
It never occurred for me to unclip my helmet off.
What?
It didn't. None of even my leadership actually said, hey, clip it off and open the door because, you know, we got to go in. But it took us a while. We figured it out, and you know, we went in, we searched, but it was pretty nerve-wracking.
Yeah, because at any second, if they saw you, they would shoot you.
Yeah, and my whole thing is that I had to jump over to open the door, be quiet. I couldn't even carry my weapon. I couldn't even carry my equipment.
No.
So
I don't like that Manny is all that's standing between us and Al-Qaeda. That concerns me a little bit.
Well, were you willing to go, Bean?
No, I guess not.
Then we're happy with Manny.
Thank you for your service, Manny. Funny story. Let's go to – oh, did we just lose – we lost – oh, okay. Let's go to AJ then. Los Angeles, please, line 2.
All right. Hi, AJ.
Hey, how's it going? So I'm 22 now, but when I was a kid, I was a bit of a chubbier kid, and we were going Easter egg hunting on this one of our properties, and there was actually a septic tank plate, and me, being a little kid, wanted to jump on it, jumped on it, fell through, and I was stuck in a septic tank.
Stuck in a septic tank?
There's got to be no place worse.
For how long?
For about an hour, and then one of my older cousins would be able to pull me out, but I was stuck in there pretty good, and I was... had a nice little cake of goodness on me all over.
Oh, that is not a cake of goodness. I got to be honest.
It is the opposite of a cake of goodness.
Yeah,
how much of your body was in the septic tank?
Yeah, how much of your body was in the septic tank?
Oh, all the way up to about my nipples.
Dude.
Oh, yeah, and I was pretty traumatized as a kid.
I'll bet. And how long did it take to wash to the point where you felt clean again?
Oh, I didn't feel clean for a while. And I was not at the house, too. I was away at different properties, so they hosed me down. My mom put rubbing alcohol all over me from the head down. It was a mess.
Rubbing alcohol in the junk?
Oh, everywhere, man. Oh, I was a little packed and I was not having it.
That's not good.
I've had enough. This is not a cake of goodness.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54.
Sorry, Mugs. I swear to God, you better have this queued up.
Is that our new Rocktober jingle?
It's one of them.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No guitar, no Rocktober guitar. What? That's not.
I had him get up the screen because I didn't
know
what
he was
play
asking
that.
For. I think. Okay. See, Ralph, you don't know this, but last week Muggs guaranteed that no matter when we asked for Rocktober, it would be queued up and ready to go, or we could fire him.
Oh, I see. So that guy was saying Rocktober so that we'd play the guitar thing that Beer Mug had
yes,
queued up.
Yes, that's right. That's right, yes.
He added fire me on the spot for the rest of the month.
For that's
the
right.
The rest of Rocktober?
Yes.
Yes.
I just said Rocktober.
So wow. I'm saying that's something that would be worth us trying to keep it alive. You know what I mean?
Hell
that's
to all. The yeah.
Hey, Mr. Han from Linkin Park joins us just after 9. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Now, lots of exciting things, but perhaps none more so than Bill Murray and Sofia Coppola announcing that they are currently working together again, the Lost in Translation collaborators working side by side on a Christmas special for TV for Bill Murray.
What?
A that Bill sounds Murray too good to be true.
TV Christmas special.
He is so weird.
He is
the choices
very weird.
He makes.
It is a very weird choice.
What are they going to be doing?
It's going to be weird, whatever it is. And I'll tell you why, because here's the explanation. This is not going to be like your old-timey Christmas special where he comes out and does a monologue and then he's got, you know, Joey Heatherton comes out and dances with the Rockettes or anything, you know? It's not going to be like that. It's going to be, in his words, it's not going to be live. We're going to do it like a little movie. It won't have a format, but it's going to have music. It will have texture. It will have threads through it that are writing. There will be prose. That's the description of what it's going to be.
That is fascinating.
Yeah. He will be singing Christmas carols.
He's not a singer.
No.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
I love it.
Unless you count Star Wars, wonderful Star Wars, those near and those far wars coming for you.
And he did some pretty good karaoke in Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
But this is the most bizarre showbiz news of the week.
It will have a patina style and wit to it. It will be nice, he continued in his explanation.
It will
so,
be nice.
There you go. It will be nice. We know that much.
Are we being set up?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
While we're talking about Bill, Ghostbusters, of course, has been announced, is going to be remade with an all-female cast.
Yeah?
I've gotten in trouble for saying this before, but I think it just smacks of stunt when you do that. People say, oh, you don't want to see women in movies? It's like, it has nothing to do with not wanting to see women in movies. I think if you would put any group... If you say, I'm going to make Ghostbusters, but we're going to make an all-black version of Ghostbusters, or we're going to make an all-midget versions of Ghostbusters. But if you take, if you're just replacing the cast ad hoc for no other reason than to do it differently, I think it just smacks of stunt casting to me.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean it's not going to be funny.
Depends on...
I just think it's bad thinking. It's bad Hollywood thinking. But the Ghostbusters, the original Ghostbusters, they're re-releasing their soundtrack. The Ray Parker Jr. chart-topping 1984 soundtrack, Ghostbusters theme, will now be available on vinyl.
Yes!
That smells like marshmallows.
All right!
It will come in a sleeve that also feels like marshmallows.
Okay.
So only 3,000 copies of this are going to be available.
Something strange in the neighborhood. Who you going to call?
Ghostbusters! Yummy!
Something weird.
It's going to smell like marshmallows.
Yeah, I don't want my albums to smell.
Ghostbusters!
Only 3,000 copies will be available. Each one comes with a certificate of authenticity. So you don't get any of those fake marshmallow-smelling vinyl Ghostbuster themes.
And they're everywhere.
You see them in all the... the Rose Bowl flea market. There's just tables and tables full of them. But get the real thing.
Sure.
You can get that at the Ghostbusters store, which is myplaydirect.com/Ghostbusters store.
What's happening?
Harder to find.
No. They couldn't.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Right, back off. Great news. Robert Downey Jr. will be joining Captain America 3.
Awesome. As Iron Man?
As Iron Man. They're trying to work out a fourth Iron Man deal. But in the interim, it has been announced that he is absolutely going to join Cap in Captain America 3, which will kick off the Civil War arc from the comic book, which is awesome.
Okay. Now, what is that?
Familiarize us with that.
Civil War was awesome. And apparently, this is the new theme. This is the new storyline they're going to take. It's going to go through all the way through Avengers 3.
Okay.
It's a time in the Marvel Comics when there was a law passed by the government because they started to get concerned about terrorism and things, where you had to register with the government and tell them your secret identity if you were a costumed crime fighter. You had to take off your mask for the U.S. government and register and become part of the establishment.
Okay. That could not have been popular with the Avengers.
Well, some of them said that's a good idea. Like Tony Stark, for example, said, yeah, I think that's a great idea. Everyone should come clean.
Well, he's already out.
That's right. But other people, like Captain America, who's also out, more or less, said, I don't think the government should force these people to have to identify themselves. What about their families and friends that could be at risk if they show their secret identities?
Right.
So these two camps start up against each other, and it starts a war between the superheroes.
Sweet.
They fight each other. It's pretty cool.
Is it on?
It's pretty cool. So that's going to be happening in Captain America 3. That's good news.
Let's have it.
And lastly, Kevin's ready for it now. Lastly, last hour I did that story about John Cleese making fun of Taylor Swift to her face about her cat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This email comes from listener Molly. I had no idea. But it said, Ralph, believe it or not, there was actually more drama between John Cleese and Tadoff Swindler when they appeared on the Graham Norton show. Apparently, Tadoff was trying to use her airtime to promote her latest project. John Cleese would interrupt her and go way off topic, talking about global warming, death, Ebola, kids on his lawn, etc. Taylor tried to be a good sport about him giving her crap about her cat-lating tendencies, but mostly, according to Molly, she minded Cleese's side rants.
She minded Cleese's side rants.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we haven't had that for a while, have we?
A year?
Or two?
No,
better than that. I can't remember last time we did a good science riff.
Good one. Let's.
That was a great one. Good work, Molly.
How appropriate for today of all days, too, by the way.
That gets me into today's celebrity birthday. Singer Thomas Dolby celebrates his 56th birthday today.
She blinded me with science.
She blinded Cleese's side rants. Yeah.
Come
on.
Great.
That was pretty good. Right? Now that you think about it.
I didn't see it coming.
I'll tell
you that. Yeah.
That was listener Molly Shock gave us that one. God bless her. These other stars were all born on this today, the 14th of Rocktober! Roger Moore is 87 years old. Actress Lori Petty is 51. Sportscaster Jim Rome. I'm 50. Now I'm done. Steve Coogan is 49 years old today. Natalie Maines turns 40. Usher's 36. Stacey Keebler's 35. Jay Farrow from SNL is 27 years old, and singer Pia Toscano. Good luck charm for the LA Kings, 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Hozier, and they are going to be here tomorrow live performing.
Very excited about that.
Yes. He did Saturday Night Live this weekend, and now he's in California, and he's going to be joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow. That's going to be cool. By the way, speaking of music, Dave Grohl Friday here on the program. And additionally, speaking of music, how about Joe Hahn from Linkin Park, who joins us in studio right now? What's up, Mr. Hahn? How are you, sir?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you. I mean, I guess we weren't surprised to see that you were making a movie now coming out called Mall, because a lot of people who direct music videos, that's what they do, is they go, hey, it's fun for 3 minutes. It'll be even more fun for 90 minutes. Is this something you've been looking forward to for a long time?
Yeah, I've been trying to do it for a while. I guess it's been, I don't know, maybe 15 years trying to figure out how to do this. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
This particular project or just a movie?
Yeah, a movie in general. And I figured there's a lot of people that listen to the band, so I can try to meet rich people along the way.
Okay.
That I could eventually ask to borrow money to make a movie.
Yeah, that's what stands in the way of most people making a film, is having somebody pay for it. I understand that's the toughest part of the thing. How many music videos have you directed, Joe?
Jeez, I think it's somewhere in the
dozens,
30s.
Right?
30s? Yeah.
In the 30s?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot.
Which one was the hardest of all the ones you've done so far?
Ooh.
In terms of the scope or something that you tried to do that ended up taking a lot of man hours.
I don't know what's the hardest, but I would say the most expensive ones are probably not even the best ones, you know?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I think when you have the limitations, you get more creative. Yeah, you have to figure it out. Yeah,
And you probably took some of that into making your movie too. Is you thought, hey, we don't need all the money in the world. We don't have all the money in the world. So how can we make what we have work?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, don't give me money. Just give me moral support.
Well, first you said give me money, and then they wouldn't, and then you said, okay, good.
Yeah, I think the record label caught on. They're like, oh yeah, we heard you say that. So yeah, just figure out how to make a music video.
All right. So for 15 years, you thought this is what you wanted to do. Now you've done it, and it comes out in selected theaters.
Yeah, yeah.
Friday.
This Friday. I think in L.A., it's actually in Torrance at the Rolling Hills AMC.
Was the experience what you thought it was going to be?
Yeah. I guess I prepared for it for a long time and casted really well. So the actors made it really easy, and we created a fun, creative environment where everyone could have input.
How many days did it take you to shoot it?
18 days.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah. We shot at the Eagle Rock Plaza.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
And some of your bandmates are in it, the movie? The music?
Yeah, the music. We had some music that didn't fit on any of the records, and we magically found the perfect place for it in the film, but these songs really spoke to the characters in these certain moments, so we were able to create themes out of them.
Did you?
Wow, that's awesome.
Did you write it that way knowing you had the songs?
It was a little bit of a puzzle trying to figure out where things fit.
Right.
And crossing our fingers. And actually worked on the score with Alec Pirro, who I don't know if you remember a band called Deadzy back in the day.
I don't know.
Yeah, but he was the drummer in that band. We used to tour with him. And he's a big composer now. So he was really the mastermind of figuring out where everything fit.
Was the music more important to you because you're a musician than most directors, or no?
No, I think the way I see it is music, film, art, all this stuff. It's there's something very self-fulfilling, and part of that is a way of expressing yourself through that.
Mm-hmm.
And once you kind of have the notion of what that's going to be, then you have to think about how that's going to communicate with the audience. I see all that stuff just working really well together.
Sure. Why did you choose this movie? You wanted to make a movie for a long time. I'm sure you had options. Why Mall? What about this story spoke to you so much?
I got the script from Sam Maidu, and he's a mutual friend of Vincent D'Onofrio and I. I got the script, and I loved it, and automatically came up with a ton of ideas. Got to meet Vincent, who was actually going to direct it himself. And
was that right?
Yeah, and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to make this movie, and this is how I'm going to do it. And then he was just, okay, let's do it.
Wait, hold on. So you went to you were talking to him about this movie.
Yeah.
And he was planning on directing it.
Yeah.
And you said, no, here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's a weird... He said, I'm still in. I'll do it your way.
That's a strange thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was great because he came in with an open mind, and it was very collaborative. He ended up producing and also being in the film, and he was really helpful in just getting the film made and his advice on how to work with actors and all that, especially with personalities, really helped.
Yeah, and he's a great actor too, by the way, as you know, obviously.
Yeah, I would say he's probably one of the all-time best.
Before we take a break, give us the thumbnail sketch of what Maul is about.
Maul is about we follow this young guy, Jeff, who's played by Cameron Monaghan. He's in that show Shameless.
Mm-hmm.
It's a day in his life, and he lives in the city where this mall is, where people kind of congregate, and it showcases five different lives of separate people. And he has the approach where he's really smart, but he's kind of arrogant, and he's always citing Steppenwolf, and he thinks he has all the answers. And these people are really pathetic, and you get kind of a soulless vibe from all of them. And there's some events that happen throughout the day. There's a
that aren't good.
That aren't good. There's
like, doesn't look like they're having fun. I'll tell you that.
Not the best day ever at the mall. It's not free cotton candy day. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, there's a meth addict that just burned his house down with the mom in it, and he's on his way to the mall with some guns. And
so it's a comedy.
Yeah, I actually laugh when I see it because it's written in a way that's super awkward.
Yeah.
So I like watching people watch it because I can see how squirmy they're getting in their seats because they're sitting next to someone thinking about what they're thinking.
Is it
right.
weird to watch people watch it, though? I mean, do you get the sense like, hey, by the way, they should have been more impressed by that scene, or they should have laughed here, or they should have...
Yeah, for me, it's more like, there's some kind of racy stuff.
Right.
There's a part, well, I shouldn't say too much, but... when these key moments happen, I like to see how people react.
Does Gina Gershon take her top off? I mean, that's what we're all thinking, right?
I don't know. Does she?
Oh,
he knows how to promote.
Wait, that's not what we were all thinking? Maul opens this Friday, October 17th at the AMC Rolling Hills 20 in Torrance. If you want to see it on the big screen, that's one of 11 markets that the film is going to be playing. And you're also on demand and on iTunes and all that good stuff on Friday as well, right, Joe?
Yeah.
Sounds great. We're going to take a quick break, come back more with Joe Hahn from Lincoln Park when we return right after this on K-Rock. Joe Hahn in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the DJ for the band Lincoln Park, who have been together for now over 15 years, right, Joe?
Yeah, it's been a while.
You hate those guys yet?
No.
He, of course, has been directing their videos, dozens of Lincoln Park videos throughout the years. Now he has his first full-length feature movie opening up on Friday. You can get it on demand or at iTunes. It's called Maul, M-A-L-L. What was the, if you can think of a couple of the movies that influenced you as a young man that first really brought your attention to, oh my God, movies are the coolest? Something that made an impact.
Wow. I guess it started with comic books. When I was young, I used to love comic book covers, just the art, and then that got me into reading comics and understanding storytelling and got me into drawing. So taking that idea of explaining a story in a single frame.
That's what you thought you were going to do, right, is be an artist?
Yeah, I was hoping to do that, and I went to art school. I met Mike, and then I started working in art, and then realized how lonely it is. And
oh, really?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
didn't like just doing something in solitary confinement, basically?
Yeah, I needed to get out and do stuff.
And
so.
Then stupid being in one of the biggest rock bands of all time that got in the way of being able to draw comics.
Yeah, yeah. But actually, when I was doing art, I was working in special effects, which was cool.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, and that got my interest going as far as filmmaking.
When you started doing music videos for the band, was it partly because you were cheap? Hey, we could actually do this, and it won't cost us a ton of money to make a video if we let Joe do it.
I was trying to get rich off doing it, but
trying to gouge the band.
Yeah, I guess I was trying to be creatively assertive. And
that weird at the beginning? Did you have to go to them and say, "I think I can do this"? And
well, when I started, I was co-directing, so it was more
okay.
me coming up with the ideas and like really trying to be as hands-on as I could with a couple of other guys. And then eventually I was like, hey, you know, I think I can do this myself. Is it cool? Because the other videos did pretty well.
What was the first one that was all yours?
first one. Do I even remember? Let's see. We did.
You've done so many.
The first album, first single was One Step Closer, then Crawling, and then In the End, and then it was whatever was after that.
Whatever was after In the End.
Okay. It's our new game.
Look it up, Johan names Linkin Park songs.
Look it up.
Someone out there knows.
As busy as you guys are with your crazy schedule, I mean, you're always. It seems like you're always traveling. You're always doing shows. You've got that show at the Wiltern coming up in a couple of weeks on the 24th. It's going to be on DirecTV. Was it tough for you to get the time away to prep and then make and then the post-production for this movie with all your duties with the band?
No, because we go through these spells of being lazy. And we'll
it doesn't seem like it.
We'll take like
it doesn't at all.
Half a year off here and there. It just worked out. We're always firing all pistons off at one time. So even when we're not doing the band thing, we're doing something.
Right.
Yeah.
But you had how long did this movie take from beginning to end? I know you don't do it in that order, but
the shooting time took 18 days, and then to actually make the movie, it took years to start and finish. First year being just raising the money.
That's so crazy that something could take a couple of years, and then, you know, you see movies come and go in a week.
Yeah.
And they're gone, but most of them aren't made on, you know, the money that you spent.
Yeah.
So you have a much better chance at success, I would imagine.
Yeah, and sometimes I'll go on these things called general meetings where you meet with producers, and they say, oh, when do you have time to do anything? I'm like, all right, well, when did you ever say we're going to do a movie tomorrow and then take 2 months to do it and then we're done, you know? Like, so.
Yeah, true.
Everything just works out.
Well, we're very excited to see the thing. Again, it's called Maul, and it's available on video on demand and on iTunes, and you can also see it on the big screen. Hey, are you going to be down there at all on Friday at the theater where you're playing?
No, I have to go to Brazil.
Okay. All right. See what I mean?
Yeah,
guys
me
got
too.
A schedule.
Maul up is Friday at the AMC Rolling Hills 20 in Torrance, if you'd like to see it on the big screen.
And if you missed Joe saying it a few minutes ago, there's some new Linkin Park songs, 4 songs in the movie, right, that have not been previously released from the band.
Well, there's actually a lot more than that, but I think 3 or 4 actually have vocals on them.
That's awesome.
So they did a lot of the instrument, the score?
That yeah, part? Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very rich with culture.
Well, we're very excited for you, Joe. It's awesome to see you take this next step. We're excited to see the movie, and I hope they let you make a whole bunch more, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 9:38.
Got something brand new by a group called Shannon and the Clams.
You don't.
I've got Ice Age.
Nope.
I've got Dreamers.
You're not on, Rodney.
I've got TV. Yep. On the radio.
Okay, yes.
And I got Trippin' Dinosaurs.
You'd be trippin'.
Francisco the Man.
Right.
And a band called Dinner and a Suit.
And right all the hits.
From Nova Scotia. From Halifax, Nova Scotia. Uh-huh. A band called In Flight Safety.
Right.
And here's a cut from it
called
Animals.
I'm sorry, we don't have the time for that, Robbie.
Oh, come on, In Flight Safety.
Yeah, he used up all of it. Time to play the song with the intro. He is playing a lot of good records on that show, though, it sounds like.
Yes, it does.
Sorry, I missed it.
Ralph is back. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat for the day.
Before I get to show business news, how about some tickets to the K-Rock screening of Birdman?
Yay!
It's happening tonight at the ArcLight Hollywood. So don't call if you can't go tonight. I've got 2 pairs of passes to give away to a very special screening of Birdman. This movie has got an enormous amount of buzz. Oscar talk from Michael Keaton already from people who have seen it. I was hanging out with Chris Hardwick in New York at the New York Comic Con, and he had a chance to see it. He said, Oscar, Oscar, Oscar.
Wow, great.
Zach Galifianakis also in the film Edward Norton. Story of a washed-up actor who once played an iconic superhero who has to try to overcome his ego and his past and mount a Broadway play. So if you'd like to check out the newest from Michael Keaton, give me a call now, 1-800-520-1067. 2 pairs of passes to go see Birdman tonight. And if you don't see it tonight, it's in theaters everywhere, Friday, October the 17th.
How many times have you said, I want to see Michael Keaton do more?
Constantly. For years. I'm like, I love every movie he's made. Where has he been?
Yeah, it's weird.
And he would tease. He'd show up in a little supporting role in something. Or he was on that Larry David
HBO movie that Larry David made.
Oh, right.
That's right. Yep.
And he had a little funny little role in that. He'd be great all the time, but he wouldn't star in anything. And now it's coming back in a big way in this film. And people are, boy, just talking about this performance a lot. Yeah, and I've always thought he was a very powerful actor, just in spite of being funny and stuff. You see his drama, his serious stuff. A movie called The Paper that I liked a lot, he did with Ron Howard. Clean and Sober. I thought he should have won an Oscar for that performance. He's really a great dramatic actor as well. He's got that intensity. So he was in the RoboCop most recently, I guess. He played the bad guy in that.
Oh, right.
The reboot of RoboCop.
That's right.
But, boy, it's good to see him starring in something again. I'm looking forward to this film a lot. I'm also looking forward to the Foo Fighters' new album. Sonic Highways comes out in November. But they are the guest band on David Letterman all week long. They are doing a residency where they will be there each night with David Letterman, also bringing one of their favorite guest performers on with them to perform cover songs all week long. It's very cool. Last night, for example, they were sitting in with the Letterman band, and they played Black Sabbath's War Pigs with their special guest, Zach Brown, who's also on the new album, Sonic Highways. Here's a little taste of the band. So good.
They really are the best.
You can watch that performance on krock.com if you want to see the video of it. But, man,
I'm looking forward to this week.
Yeah, me too. But I was so surprised by that choice with Zach Brown as his guest because it's not like Zach Brown comes from a metal tradition or anything like that. I mean,
guys don't play that kind of music, though, doesn't mean they're not fans of it.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if Zach Brown wasn't a Sabbath fan and enjoyed some of that music. There's obviously a reason why they made that choice. Congratulations to AMC, doing very well for themselves with the kickoff of Walking Dead returning to that network.
Oh, you have numbers?
I do.
Excellent.
They're here someplace. I had them, and now I can't find them. Anyway, they were big. Big. Perhaps the biggest ever.
17.3 million people.
Wow.
There you go. 17.3 million people.
Highest rated show in the history of AMC.
Yeah, and they have already renewed that show for yet another season because obviously it's a smash hit for that network. They're saying that once all the numbers are in, they're going to wait and see what the football numbers were for Sunday night, but it may have beat out football.
Football has been number one every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wasn't that big a number this week because it was such a localized game. It was Philadelphia against New York, so it had a large East Coast
audience. That makes sense.
But the rest of the country was not all that interested.
Plus, it was a blowout, right?
It was a blowout from early on, so people were tuning out. But, so congratulations to AMC.
And congratulations to your friend Chris Hardwick, too, because Talking Dead benefits from that huge number, too. I think they had just under 7 million for his show, which is the highest they've ever had.
A lot of news broke last week. People asking me, AMC announced that they were getting rid of all of their unscripted programming, all of their reality shows except for Talking Dead and for Comic Book Men with Kevin Smith. A lot of people are asking, what does that mean for Hollywood Babylon, the TV show? Because you guys did a pilot for AMC for Hollywood Babylon, the TV show. Is there any news? And I said, yes, there is news, and it's all bad.
Oh,
what? They cut us loose as well.
Oh, they said no wah, more,
wah,
huh?
Wah.
They shot our show right in the head. Put it down like a dog. So, so that happens.
Now, can you take it somewhere else?
That's the very good news. AMC, it wasn't anything personal. AMC was very forthright. Said, you know, we just decided we're going to go in a very different direction. We're going to do all scripted shows.
That's what they've said to me every time I've been fired, too, by the way.
We're going
in a different direction.
Such great. Well, we weren't alone. It wasn't like they said, we don't want your show. They said, we don't want any show that doesn't have a script attached to it. So all the stuff they had been doing, like Game of Arms, and, I mean, things that were getting good numbers for them, they also removed those shows.
All right.
So, they said, we've just decided we're going to go all scripted with you know, the hits we've had in the past, like Breaking Bad and Walking Dead and Mad Men. That's what we're going to try to focus our energies on. So we love you guys, love the show. Feel free. You get the rights back to shop it around. So
that's
now
cool.
We've got a completed pilot that we don't have to, you know, shoot a new one, and we get to show that to other networks. So who knows what the future holds for Babylon, the TV show. But
probably all three networks will just air
that's what I'm thinking.
Simulcast.
I'm thinking bidding war.
Yeah.
PBS like will probably get in on it, too. They'll probably want a chunk. They'll want a piece.
Maybe right after Downton Abbey.
Piece of Babel action. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Lisa, that's a good 1-2 punch right there.
Right?
The Downton Abbey and then Hollywood Babylon. Me saying F. Taylor Swift at the top of my lungs with a load on.
I love it. Yeah. I hope that happens every week.
It does, actually.
When Kevin said all three networks, what do you think he was thinking?
ABC, NBC,
back to the 80s,
CBS.
Before Fox?
Yes, yes, I was. The big three, as they're known?
Yes, yeah. I was. Yeah, I was just surprised by that.
Before Fox?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big four. It sounded like it. Big four.
Five, six, whatever you got.
Whatever.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Speaking of Babylon, if you want to see the original, if you want to see it live, if you want to see the podcast, we're back live on stage this weekend. Actually, two shows. 8 o'clock, we're doing our comic book read-along, Comic-Con Theater. We're going to read issue 5 of Batman Meets the Green Hornet at 8 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock, it's Hollywood Babylon live on stage, our 4-year-old podcast that we do each and every, not each and every, obviously, but we do it a lot down there at the Improv on Melrose. Come out and see us at 10 o'clock or 8 o'clock this Friday. We'd love to have
you. How is this still a thing?
I don't know. People keep coming. That's why, I guess. Go to improv.com for more details and to get your tickets. These stars all born today, the 14th of Rocktober!
Yeah, he made that promise at the beginning of last week too, if I remember.
How does it work over there? Can he just leave that forever on one button or switch or something over there, and then he never has to worry about putting it up there right?
No, because sometimes you have to go to. He has to go to other clips on that machine.
Well, let's find some other clips on that machine that we need.
No.
Rocktober. See.
Nope.
Sorry. It took a long time.
It took a long time
to get there. See ya. Tell your story walking. Go sell your sausage somewhere else, beer mug. Roger Moore is 87 years old today. Singer Thomas Dolby is 56.
Science!
Lori Petty's 51. Jim Rome turns 50 years old today. Steve Coogan, one of my favorite British comedians and actors, he is 49 years old. You see that Philomena? He was in that Philomena.
Yes. It's very good.
Don't remember if I saw it or not.
I can tell you right now, you did see it.
Okay. You did,
and
you
loved
it. Your wife drug you to it, and you loved it.
Okay.
It was a story of a journalist who meets up with an Irish woman played by Judi Dench who had to give up her child at an early age, and she wants some help in finding her son. Yes, that was Steve Coogan who played the journalist.
How about that? And you remember your wife, the red-haired lady. You remember her?
Yes. She took you to see
her. Remember
that.
Name, but I remember face. I'm
telling you, we got to put that chip in. We're gonna need it soon.
I'm going to get lost. GPS I'm going to wander the streets and never be seen again.
What's your name, sir? What's your name?
I don't know about names. I think my name's Jose Garcia.
If Kevin goes missing, Jorge, let's be sure to put it on the news on all three networks so that he sees it.
Natalie Maines is 40. Usher is 36 years old. Stacey Keibler turns 35. Jay Farrow, comedian of SNL. I was waiting for that bell, and it was a long time coming. 27 years old today. And Pia Toscano. Good luck charm of the LA Kings is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have John Bernthal talking about the movie Fury.
Oh, it looks good.
That looks good. We have Cary Elwes talking about. He's written a book called As You Wish. Inconceivable tales from the making of The Princess Bride.
Inconceivable!
I don't think this word means what you think it means.
We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage, and we have some live music from Hozier on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show.